traffic and weather at the bottom of the hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Since we first asked that question several weeks ago, we've learned that some people can't live without Liz, while others jump for joy about Jackson and Jackson. This is Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis. Send us a postcard or email of 100 words or less telling us why you listen to WGNU. You could win a package of free stuff from your friends at AM 920. Send your postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, 63108. Send your email to cgear@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings continue through Friday, October 28th. One entry per address, one prize per family. One winner announced each day during Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan, Monday through Fridays from 4 until 6. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at wgnu.net.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a new report is out called Beyond Delay, the 13 Most Corrupt Members of Congress. We'll look at the egregious, unethical, and probably illegal activities of this baker's dozen, one of which is Missouri's own Roy Blunt, the governor's dad. 2 years ago, he divorced his wife of 30 years to marry a lobbyist for Philip Morris, and then tried to insert wording into Homeland Security legislation that would have been to Philip Morris' benefit. Blunt's other son, Andrew, also lobbies for Philip Morris, who just happens to be his biggest political campaign contributor. There's so much more to tell, and we will tell you all about it with Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Time now for another edition of The Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers of the sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers of the sisters. Use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers,
truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy, the man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number, 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Any every, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have so much to talk about. So much to talk about. Now, I haven't been able to verify this by laying my eyes upon it. All I've been able to do is lay my ears upon it. So, I'm going to throw this out here. And let me know if this is something that you have laid your eyes or ears upon. In the era of the Tom DeLays, in the era of the Trent Lotz, in the era of the Babs, there's no Arctic fish colder than Bush. In the era of United States senators refusing to apologize for not passing legislation that was an anti-lynching law in the year 2005. Dig deep on that one. Just feel how deep that is. And all of those times, for those of you that want to tell folks that get past the past, move forward. My granddaddy didn't own a slave. My great-granddaddy didn't own a slave. My great-great-granddaddy didn't own slaves. Well, explain to me why, when the Gateway Classic came and used the Adams Mark inexplicably, the Adams Mark as one of its places for people to stay. Explain to me why the Adams Mark put letters under the Gateway Classic residents telling them how to behave, how to dress, how to talk, how to walk within the halls of their racist establishment. Tell me why. And then they shuffled this black man out to carry their racist water, saying that, oh, this is a letter that we give to all of our visitors. No, you don't. You a lie. You a lie. Please talk to me about the atmosphere the pervasive atmosphere that is so uniquely St. Louis, Missouri. Black folks get a special letter from the Adams Mark, a special racist letter from the Adams Mark that says, now mind you, the crowd for a football event like this is an older crowd. I mean older than mid-20s. We're talking 30 and above. You can tell, folks, 40-year-old people, 50-year-old people, 60-year-old people, 70-year-old people, how they're supposed to dress. But that's the world that we live in. That's the world that is ours here in the city of St. Louis. The Adams Mark sends letters to puts letters under black people's door. This is how, that's why I have never been to the Adams Mark. Since black people have always been treated racially within that establishment. Nothing has changed. Remember, the owner of Adams Mark has said, I've never done anything racist or wrong. And yet, folks, black folks continue to use that establishment. It is indefensible. Oh, it may be cheap. It may be cheap. But they hate you just the same. And they treat you bad just the same. Mm. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. The truth will set you free. Well, Ms. Brown, as far as Alex Moore is concerned, you can't fix stupid. They'll still run down there. And I got so sick and tired of Sammy Jones looking on the news, shaking the man's hand. It's all right. We'll be back. Thank you for the apology.
Stop.
I'm sick of that.
Stop it. Did he shake his hand?
He shook the man's hand. I'm so sick of you, Sammy Jones. I wish Miss Brown to see this. I'm sick of this. You can't think stupid, honey.
Well, you know, Sammy Jones.
I will continue to give you our money, honey. Stupid, Miss Brown. Miss Brown, let me tell you this. Did you see Fox 2 News with Chris Wallace yesterday?
I did not.
Miss Brown, you missed a good one. There was Brett Hume, and then there's a lady sitting next to him, and then there's Bill Christa and Juan Williams. Well, guess what came up on the topic, Ms. Brown?
I imagine Bill Bennett's racist comments. Yes.
And guess who defended Bill Bennett out of those four people?
Juan Williams?
No.
Okay, because I heard that Juan Williams was kicking their butt on it.
He kicked their butt.
Yeah.
He defended Bill Bennett. Brett Hume and Bill Crystal. The woman was on Juan Williams. I can't call her name, Ms. Brown.
What did Crystal say in defense of
Bill Crystal? Oh no, now wait a minute. He's not no racist now. He ain't no racist and
because,
blah blah this and blah blah blah. We're not gonna call him no racist and then.
Well, wait a minute. He said that if you kill all black babies, crime will drop. Black babies, no matter whose womb they come out of, whether they come out of Oprah's womb or some woman sitting in jail, they all criminals. I was a criminal when I was born. You were a criminal when you were born because of your black skin color.
Ms. Brown said it twice, Ms. Brown. The woman said, she said, he repeated this twice,
that's
Ms.
right.
Brown. And then Brett Hume said about he was going in something. He was defending the man. He said something very, very silly, Ms. Brown. I hope you get a tape of it, Ms. Brown. But Juan Williams, Ms. Brown, he ate them out. He said, look, what if I said, Brett, if I came on here and said, white people, we should abort all white babies for Social Security purposes and all that, and or Chinese babies and all this. He said, now, and then, you know what he told him, Ms. Brown?
What?
Juan Williams said, now you know why blacks can't trust the Republican Party.
No, he didn't say that.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't say that.
He said, Ms. Brown missed the good one. I hope you get a copy of it, Ms. Brown.
No, he did say that.
You've seen Juan Williams' face.
I know he was mad. I know he was should have been mad.
And then you wonder why blacks can't come to won't come to the Republican Party, Ms. Brown. Wait a minute, Ms. Brown. Let me finish this one first. Let me tell you what Chris Wallace said, the commentator. He said, well, should he apologize? Well, Ms. Brown, guess out of all the panels on there, guess who said why?
Who?
Brett Hume.
And what did Brett Hume say?
When Chris Wallace said, well, should he apologize? Brett Hume said, why? He said, why? Ms. Brown,
and that's a confession. That's a confession. I appreciate your confession. Please, wear your Klan's outfits to dinner. Wear your Klan's outfits. Hold your head up. Hold your pointy head up.
I'm heated about this remark, Ms. Brown. I want Bill Bennett to explain that remark. to Condoleezza Rice and Ms. Brown. Why is the White House, why the White House distancing themselves from him, Ms. Brown?
They're not distancing themselves. They're just waiting for the blowover.
Okay,
that's
how
they ain't distancing themselves. They just dunking
it. To make sure he goes to the Myanmar movement and explains that remark.
Oh, I don't. Because the fact of the matter is I want you to wear your Klan's outfit.
Where?
Hold your pointy head up high.
And
make sure that we can see who you are. I ain't mad at you. I just want to be clear about you. I appreciate that.
Explain that to Bill Cosby.
Yeah, well,
Bill Cosby
contributed to this atmosphere. Bill Cosby said just about the same thing.
Ms. Brown, if you never hear from me again, remember this, Ms. Brown. Death and taxes, we're going to have to pay for the weekend. We're going to have to worry about death and taxes. I want Mr. Bennett to know. Mr. Bennett, when you do your prearrangement on your services, have your wife tell the clergy to talk about that at your funeral, as well as put that on your headstone, those remarks. So when people pass the cemetery, oh, let's take a picture of Bill Bennett's remarks. Have a nice day, Ms. Brown.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello.
Bill, really? Yes.
Yeah, this is Bill. I've been going to the Gateway Classic ever since it opened. And I picked up on one small thing. Every time I go down into the Gateway Classic, that yellow escalator do not work. But the next day for the game for the Rams is working. Can somebody call and tell me why? So, you know, I'm 69 years old, and I have to walk up those steps, me and my wife. So I think they're doing it on purpose. You know.
Well, I don't see why anybody would be affiliated with the Adams Mark. I think it's outrageous.
Yeah.
I think it is absolutely. And any black person that is shaking the hand of the Adams Mark is a fool.
Yeah,
is
sure.
A fool for Sammy Jones to get up there and to shake the hand of the Adams Mark. All that is another hustle that he's trying to get another deal. Another one of those preachers that is all about the buck.
Yeah, thank you. And ask Metrolink why they have that escalator turned off where people have to walk up the steps, you know.
Thank
you. I mean, because I don't think it's right.
It's not.
Okay,
thanks
you.
For your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I wanted to say to you about that Adams Mark. My sorority had their national meeting here one year. And, you know, they have AJs or something. When the young women and young people wanted to go to AJs, their bar, and all of a sudden it was closed. It was just private for members only.
Well, that's on. What didn't your sorority know about the Adams Mark?
Well, you know.
What didn't y'all know?
I don't know, but I tell you, because I wasn't in the hierarchy and in that part of it, but I would never have worn it, and this was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not one of those places I go to either, because I learned a lot about Adams Mark. Is that anything I want to have, I'm going to be affiliated with, I have anything to say, not Adams Mark.
And anytime you see Sammy Jones shaking the hands of some businessman, understand that it's all about the money and it doesn't have anything to do with black folks. It's all about the hustle.
You have a nice day, and I love your show.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Korean veteran, good morning.
Yeah, Ms. Brown, last week I was down to see the minister, you know, downtown, and at the offering and so forth, and I, you know, looked for you, and I was hoping to see you. But when I saw on the news about the Adams Mark, and everything, I thought, you know, after Roberts made a speech, you know, they have the other, what is it, the Mayfair down there? I hope that, they also mentioned that he has a hotel in Atlanta. Did you know that? Well, anyhow, I hope that whenever the Gateway Classic comes to town again, I hope that we'll have a couple of hotels everywhere, Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago, to accept our people where they can be treated like human beings.
Well, here's the thing. There's nobody in the world that has to go to the Adams Mark. So the first step the folks can take is make sure that they do not go to the Adams Mark.
Right.
Period, dot. Period,
okay.
Dot. Thanks for your call.
Thanks.
We're going to take a break, folks. My name
is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Toyota Parts and Service. Eastbound 44 between Mraz Overpass and Savington, look for no problems to report there. Northbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom and River DePere, no problems there. Northbound 270 at 44 in Marshall, and you have slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor all the way into McKnight, no problems there. Eastbound 70 from 370 to the Blanchett Bridge, everything's on the move. Northbound or westbound 270 between Chain Rock Bridge and West Forest, and everything looks good. Westbound 255 from Telegraph all the way into 55, no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for stop-and-go traffic already. Westbound 5570 split at the PSB. You've got slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge. No problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at Poplar Street Bridge. No problems there. Woodlawn at Veterans Memorial Parkway in O'Fallon. There's an overturned vehicle accident. Woodson at St. Charles Rock Road. There's a report of a fire in a trash truck. Zumbo at 70 is a disabled tractor trailer, but there's no delays through there. Southbound Spencer at Mexico Road. Look for an accident. The right lane is blocked and traffic is getting by okay. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer, schedule a complimentary tire rotation, and purchase of a regularly scheduled oil change. This hour's weather, let's take a look at that. Today, partly cloudy skies, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers, high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Calls. Up next, we'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up Monday morning at 7 on the Wake Up Call, we talk to Hugh Kaufman, Senior Policy Analyst at the EPA. He has some astounding information regarding environmental dangers in New Orleans that officials are refusing to acknowledge. How can it be okay to come back when toxic sludge coats everything and trying to clean it up poses an even greater health risk? Is this going to be the biggest Superfund cleanup site in the nation's history? And why aren't we talking about it? That's coming up Monday at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I suck a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Visit stlouisblues.com for special discounts and promotional information. Tickets on sale at the box office, Ticketmaster outlet, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Next. Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, a new report is out called Beyond Delay, the 13 Most Corrupt Members of Congress. We'll look at the egregious, unethical, and probably illegal activities of this baker's dozen, one of which is Missouri's own Roy Blunt, the governor's dad. 2 years ago, he divorced his wife of 30 years to marry a lobbyist for Philip Morris and then tried to insert wording into Homeland Security legislation that would have been to Philip Morris' benefit. Blunt's other son, Andrew, also lobbies for Philip Morris, who just happens to be his biggest political campaign contributor. There's so much more to tell, and we will tell you all about it with Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington on the next edition of Mondays at 9. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of star quality. And if that's the right, go too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you.
Oh, welcome back. Hey, my name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. I have, if you don't mind, y'all, I have some questions. There's an article that came out that I think is raises some very, very good questions about the flood. And I want to tie these 25 questions to, I want to tie this to a story from the White House about where the White House, what the White House believes is going to happen to New Orleans. I want to tie those two things together because I think that it's very important that we what is the phrase? Oh yeah, connect the dots. We need to connect the dots because the fact of the matter is that we're in a lot of trouble. We are in a lot of trouble. So let me go through 25 of these questions that were raised by Katrina. One, why did the flood walls along the 17th Street Canal only break on the New Orleans side and not on the Metairie side? Was this the result of neglect and poor maintenance by New Orleans authorities? Two, who owned the huge barge that was catapulted through the wall of the Industrial Canal, killing hundreds in the lower Ninth Ward, the most deadly hit-and-run accident in the history of the United States? Three, all of New Orleans and St. Bernard's Parish east of the Industrial Canal were drowned, except for the Allamaster McLeod Industrial District along the Chef Mentor Highway. Why was industrial land apparently protected by stronger levees than nearby residential neighborhoods? Four, why was there a delay in ordering the mandatory evacuation of the city? Five, why did Secretary of Homeland Security Michael Chernoff not declare Katrina an incident of national significance until August 31st, thus preventing the full deployment of urgently needed federal resources? Six, Why wasn't the nearby USS Pathan immediately sent to the aid of the New Orleans? The huge amphibious landing ship had a state-of-the-art 600-bed hospital, water, power plants, helicopters, food supplies, and 1,200 sailors eager to join the rescue effort. 7. Why wasn't the Baltimore-based hospital ship USS Comfort ordered to sea until August 31st? Why wasn't the 82nd Airborne Division deployed in New Orleans until September 5th? 8. Why does the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, balk at making public his severe weather execution order? There is such a thing as a severe weather execution order that established the ground rules for the military response to Katrina. Did the Pentagon, as a recent report by the Congressional Research Service suggests, fail to take initiatives already within the authorized powers, then attempt to transfer the blame on state and local governments? What significance attaches to the fact that the chair of the Transportation Authority has the wealthy leader of the New Orleans Business District, which has long advocated a thorough redevelopment of land in the city? 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Why were patients at private hospitals like Tulane evacuated by helicopter while their counterparts at the Charity Hospital were left to suffer and die? 15. Why was the French Quarter, one of the highest densities of restaurants in the nation, once the acute food shortages and water at the Superdome and the Convention Center were known, why didn't official requisition supplies from hotels, restaurants located just a few blocks away? In other words, they had all those dang restaurants in the French Quarter District. The French Quarter District remains largely untouched. Why was the food just left there to rot? Why didn't the Navy or Coast Guard immediately airdrop life preservers? Think we have a couple of extra life preservers out there? Oh, Jesus. 454-0400 is my phone number. Why is the Justice Department investigating the Jim Crow-like response of the suburban of Gretna police to turn back hundreds of desperate New Orleans citizens trying to walk across the Mississippi River Bridge? An image reminiscent of Selma in 1965. New Orleans, meanwhile, abounds in eyewitness accounts of police looting and illegal shootings. Will any of this ever be investigated? 20. Here's a good one. Who is responsible for the suspicious fires that have swept through the city? Why have so many fires occurred in the blue-collar areas that have long been the targets of proposed gentrification, such as the Section 8 homes on Constance Street in the Lower Garden District or the wharfs along the river in Bywater? We have found, why is there a massive Red Cross presence in Baton Rouge, but none in the smaller Louisiana towns that have mounted the most impressive relief efforts? Even the poor Cajun community of Ville Platte, for instance, has one time or another fed and housed more than 5,000 evacuees, but the Red Cross, along with FEMA, has refused almost daily appeals by local volunteers who send professionals, personnel and aid. Why should anybody give money to the Red Cross? And here's another good one. Why isn't FEMA scrambling to create a central registry of everyone evacuated from the New Orleans greater region? Will evacuees ever receive absentee ballots and be allowed to vote in the crucial February municipal elections that will partly decide the fate of the cities? 454-0400. And for your information, the head of the Department of HUD, a black man from the St. Louis area, has said, now he's the guy that's in charge of the housing piece. He has said out his own mouth New Orleans will never be blacker again.
black folks will not be back in New Orleans. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, and he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. First of all, I'd like to speak upon the incident that happened at the Adams Mark, which is desperately needed. Some actions needed to be taken better than what had been taken. Because for a conglomerate corporation like that to constantly throw up in the faces of black people that they don't want really your money or your well-being inside their facilities, how much more must it take? This happened before with the Gateway Classic organization. And they constantly go back just because they apologize. Well, you should know by now. I think this is probably the
second or the third incident. How do you apologize? It's like a Klan person lynches your a family member and apologizes. You're going to accept apology?
Well,
you know, and it's policy of this hotel to treat black people like this.
Exactly.
That is, they have racist policies. They apologize, and I haven't heard the words, because they've said that George W. Bush has apologized or taken responsibility. The words that came out of his mouth was not responsibility. They said that George W. Bush has denounced Bill Bennett, and all he said is that the comments weren't appropriate. That's hardly a denouncement. The string of words make up a denouncement. So I have to see the words coming from the Adams Mark before I can even get to the place of apology. But you have these folks that want to run out there and shake the hand of evil and grin and stand next to evil, all because they're trying to get their hustle on. People like Sammy Jones.
Well, yeah. I mean, that should not be tolerated at all. And yet and still, it reminds me of what has always happened with our so-called leaders or the shepherds of so-called black people. You know, you got to stand up and know what is being taken and how we are being looked at all across the world. And then it's not just with white people. It's with all nations of the earth. They look down upon us. So all of our politicians, all of our attorneys, all of our political leaders, and those who are in positions like the pastors and who can make decisions for the masses of black people, you can read about yourselves in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel when the Creator spoke against our leaders, when they don't do what they're supposed to do for the small people, for the poor people, for those who don't have the necessarily power. But they are in position to make these type of decisions, and they don't do it. Now, we must not let this happen. And then what Bennett said, of what more must we take, people?
I think black people.
That is, Bill Bennett said that all of us, if you want to just do away with black people, that's a form of, that is genocide.
Thanks for
your call. To the fullest degree. And his brother turned around and said, I've known the man for 62 years, and he does not have a racist bone in his body.
Well, I guess. But I guess
he may not have a racist bone,
but
his heart.
No.
That is definitely intolerant, and it is not right.
Wait a minute. The Klan says that they're not racist either. Does that make them not? Does that make them not racist? What else is your brother going to say?
Right.
Okay. Yes, you do have a racist. Yes, every bone in your body is racist when you say that black people are the cause of crime because of the color of their skin. That is the definition of racist. Yes, you are. Gotta roll. Gotta go. We're gonna take a break, folks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
The easy fight. One praises fools, one's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Next on Mondays at 9, a new report is out called Beyond Delay, the 13 Most Corrupt Members of Congress. We'll look at the egregious, unethical, and probably illegal activities of this baker's dozen, one of which is Missouri's own Roy Blunt, the governor's dad. 2 years ago, he divorced his wife of 30 years to marry a lobbyist for Philip Morris, and then tried to insert wording into Homeland Security legislation that would have been to Philip Morris' benefit. Blunt's other son, Andrew, also lobbies for Philip Morris, who just happens to be his biggest political campaign contributor. There's so much more to tell, and we will tell you all about it with Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Tell us why in 100 words or less, and you could win some really cool stuff. Promotion continues through October the 28th. Write, why do you listen to WGNU, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. One entry per person, please.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. Federal auditors have handed down a ruling that it was illegal for the Bush administration to pay money to receive favorable news coverage of education policies. It was also against the law to enter into a contract with conservative commentator Armstrong Williams and to hire a public relations company to analyze how the media viewed the Republican Party. Lawyers from the Accountability Office determined that the Bush administration went through news reports on a regular basis to see whether or not the theme put out was the Bush administration and the GOP are committed to education. The campaign amounted to covert propaganda, which is not allowed by law. The GAO also went on to say that engaging in such purely political activity is not a proper use of government funds. With regards to the financial contract with Armstrong Williams, the investigators said the Department of Education had no money or authority to procure favorable commentary, and that's in violation of the publicity or propaganda prohibition that is expressly stated in federal law. The Education Department said it paid an agency called Ketchum & Associates nearly $200,000 for services rendered by Armstrong Williams' company. However, it was not able to provide transcripts or speeches, articles, or records of any of those services performed. The Education Department also spent another $38,000 for a TV documentary on how well No Child Left Behind was impacting education, and spent almost another $100,000 for the evaluation of TV, radio, and written news articles on the administration's education policies. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Watch the butterflies fly by at the Rockwoods Reservation, 2751 Glencoe Road in Wildwood, on Friday, October 7th from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Observe the monarch butterflies as they flutter south on their annual migration. We will recreate the monarch's growth stages through play. To enroll, call 636-458-2236. News to you from WGNU.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Congratulations! You found Radio Free St. Louis at AM 920 WGNU. Also online at WGNU.net.
Coming up Monday morning at 7 on the Wake Up Call, we talk to Hugh Kaufman, Senior Policy Analyst at the EPA. He has some astounding information regarding environmental dangers in New Orleans that officials are refusing to acknowledge. How can it be okay to come back when toxic sludge coats everything and trying to clean it up poses an even greater health risk? Is this going to be the biggest Superfund cleanup site in the nation's history? And why aren't we talking about it? That's coming up Monday at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like I'm invisible. Baby,
you won't treat me the way you're treating me. Baby, you won't.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. A Bush cabinet official predicted last week that New Orleans likely will never again be a majority black city. Alfonso R. Jackson, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, during a visit with hurricane victims in Houston, said New Orleans would not reach its pre-Katrina population of 500,000 people for a long time, and it is not going to be as black as it was for a long time, if ever again. So I ask you, is there a coinkydink that the FEMA office is not, doesn't have a database, is not trying to get a database, not trying to get absentee ballots to folks? You think? There's a reason for this. You have black people that are living in Utah, for Christ's sake. Utah. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
Displacement is rough, but I was listening to your list of questions, and I thought I might add a couple. The no-bid contractor went to Holland Burton, which is the Cheney's clan. The fact that all of these multi-billions of dollars went into that city, and none of the local people got the jobs or the contracts. I'll close just saying this. Diabolical minds are at play, and it's just ironic as to what cost human life is for them. It means absolutely nothing. Thank you, Liz.
Thanks for your call. And, again, we're talking about the policies and the practices and the worldview of George W. Bush. On October 17th, please put this on your calendar. We are going to be doing a show that I am very excited about. A psychiatrist is going to be coming on who's written a book called Bush on the Couch. And as I work myself through this book, it makes sense. It absolutely makes sense that we are seeing the decision, these particular types of decisions being made by this administration. Cold, disconnected, and inhuman. And I would venture to say that that is how George Bush was raised by Babs. This is a woman who didn't have a funeral for George Bush's sister when she died as a child. She didn't have a funeral. This is a woman who did not go to her mother's funeral. This is a woman, George W. Bush's mother, doesn't really have any memory of the raising of George Bush. This is a cold, crazy, wacky, Sybil ain't got nothing over them family. So the fact that he doesn't cry when he sees dead bodies floating in the water, the fact that he couldn't pull himself off of the couch, I don't mean the good kind of psychiatric couch, I mean the football, beer, and pretzel couch. He couldn't pull himself off that couch to go see what was happening. I was on vacation, and it took all of my effort not to come back from vacation to get on the air to talk about what was going on in Katrina. I was on vacation. Jesus. October 17th. Make sure that you are here for the show Bush on the Couch. You don't want to miss that. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Liz, may I make an announcement about Tennessee State, please?
Sure.
Okay, this week, please call me, 367-8903. Tennessee State Alumni will be meeting in East St. Louis this month. So, Earlene, please call me. Also, Liz, can you help me out with this big concern? Why are we having so much crime? Was it week before last on a Monday night? There was 8. Do you have any suggestions? Black-on-black crime?
I hate the phrase black-on-black crime. It's just like the phrase of Bill Bennett's. It suggests something about black people that is not suggested about any other race of people. Let's start with getting rid of that phrase. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. President Bush is standing by in the Oval Office, ready to introduce his Supreme Court nominee, White House counsel Harriet Myers. ABC's Bill Greenwood reports from Washington.
Myers is a longtime confidant of the president. When he served as governor of Texas, she was his personal attorney and co-managing partner of a 400-member law firm in Dallas. Myers came with Mr. Bush to the White House, serving first as staff secretary, the person who screens all the documents that go to the president. Harriet Myers later became White House counsel. President Bush once called her a pit bull in size 6 shoes.
Myers is nominated to replace retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Federal investigators are in upstate New York, where a glass-enclosed tour boat flipped over and sank on Lake George. Many of the 21 people killed were senior citizens on an outing. Survivor Joanne Rahal was clearly shaken.
One, I remember most clearly lost her mother. She was extremely upset. She was on to celebrate her 80th birthday.
Some witnesses and survivors say the 40-foot tour boat was swamped by the wake from a bigger boat. Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius declared an emergency in 4 counties hit by flash flooding from a storm that dropped up to a foot of rain. Some bridges were washed out and homes and businesses were flooded. This woman in eastern Kansas describes the flooding in her house.
Got in some places about 30 inches and other places a couple of feet. It's a mess.
No serious injuries reported. The Nobel Prize in Medicine goes to 2 Australian scientists for their work with bacteria and stomach ulcers. And 50 years ago today, the Mickey Mouse Club debuted on TVs across the country. This is ABC News.
My dad and I are playing 9 holes and talking about the new Medicare prescription drug coverage.
Yeah, he's saying this year I have to pay attention to my new Medicare and you handbook when it comes in October.
That's right. There's a section in the back that'll tell you all about the new coverage and tell you what plans you can choose from.
Is it going to tell me how long you're going to stand there before you putt?
Sign up for Medicare prescription drug coverage begins November 15th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
Once again, our top story, President Bush is in the Oval Office right now, introducing his Supreme Court nominee, Harriet Myers, the former White House counsel. ABC's Charles Gibson takes a look at her career.
He appointed her to lead the state lottery commission in Texas in the late 90s. And then when President Bush came to Washington, went to the White House, she came to the White House as well as the deputy chief of staff. And for the past year, little less than a year, she has served as the White House counsel.
ABC's George Stephanopoulos says Harriet Myers has received Democratic support as well.
Her name was brought up with the White House by some Democratic senators. Now, a lot will still try to take a hard line, but there was some signaling of some acceptance by some Democratic senators through this process.
White House counsel Harriet Myers is being nominated by President Bush to succeed retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic, news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Police are identifying a woman whose body was found on Friday in a field in the 4400 block of Cote Brilliant. Investigators say city workers discovered 49-year-old Ella Scott in a vacant lot. Investigators say she had blunt trauma to the head. No reports on any arrests at this hour. Rally Monday kicks off at the Gateway Mall west of Keener Plaza this afternoon as fans celebrate the Cardinals' postseason appearance. Celebrations closed out the final regular season at Busch Stadium yesterday, but the Cardinals still have some unfinished business as the San Diego Padres come to town for a divisional playoff tomorrow. Rally organizers expect thousands of Redbird fans to participate in festivities on 9th and Market beginning at 4 p.m. today. The Cardinals yesterday wrapped up their regular season with the best record in baseball at 162 games. Hurricanes Rita and Katrina are having positive and negative impacts on some local stocks due to the recent spike in energy costs. Some companies are showing significant gains in the Argent St. Louis Stock Index, and while others are not doing so well. Ken Crawford, the portfolio manager with Argent Capital Management, explains why some of the companies are showing positive effects after natural disasters.
Alternative energy products like coal have been bid up, and as coal prices have been bid up, companies that manufacture or mine coal have been doing quite well, and in St. Louis, those would include Arch and Peabody. They've done quite well both this quarter and on a year-to-date basis.
Peabody has shown a gain of 104.9% so far this year, and Arch Coal has shown gains of 91.8%. Local stocks that fell as a result of high energy prices include Angelica Corporation, which has shown a decrease of 34% because of falling profits. And finally this hour, a local financial analyst is reacting to recent comments made by Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan. Julian Neiman, an analyst for R.T. Jones Capital Equity, says people shouldn't be worried about Greenspan's comments mean the country is headed for a recession because there are low mortgage rates and long-term debt is low. Greenspan recently told investors not to be lulled into a false sense of security just because of continued low interest rates. Neiman says Greenspan just wants people to use fiscal prudence. This hour's news has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Pack your bags. Starting October 2nd, you'll have the freedom to fly Southwest Airlines from St. Louis to Fort Myers, Naples. Plan your trip on southwest.com today. Seven minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920. Now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Fazoli's Restaurants. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Brentwood, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked and traffic is blocked at Clayton and Morrison. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler all the way in the Merrimack River Bridge. Look for a very heavy volume. Northbound 55 between 270 and Virginia, no problems reported. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry all the way into 44. Traffic is slow in pockets. Eastbound 70 between Sunbelt and Earth City Expressway. Look for everything to be on the move. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant. Look for a very heavy volume. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and Mid Rivers Mall. You've got slow traffic. Westbound 5570 between 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop and go traffic. Westbound 64 at 15th and 5570. Look for slow traffic. And westbound Kingbridge traffic is backed up to the left ramp and slow again at Laclede's Landing. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB looks slow this hour. Jennings Station at Shannon, there's a report of an injury accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Fazoli's Restaurants. Stop by Fazoli's and try a baguette. Delicious new oven-baked sandwiches on ciabatta bread served wrapped perfect for on the go. Better get a baguette only at Fazoli's Restaurants. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Partly cloudy today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers. The high should be around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we're holding at 72 degrees under mostly clear skies. Lambert Field has 72 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up Monday morning at 7 on the Wake Up Call, we talk to Hugh Kaufman, Senior Policy Analyst at the EPA. He has some astounding information regarding environmental dangers in New Orleans that officials are refusing to acknowledge. How can it be okay to come back when toxic sludge coats everything and trying to clean it up poses an even greater health risk? Is this going to be the biggest Superfund cleanup site in the nation's history? And why aren't we talking about it? That's coming up Monday at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, come on, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We have much, much, much to talk about. Don't forget that we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Also, every single day, we are archived on whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, you can go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. You can catch me at LizBrown.com. That's LizBrown.com. And I think those are all of our digits. Those are all at revolution@LizBrown.com. I think those are the digits. It's time to get into some business here, folks. I'm looking at all kinds of information here right in front of me about the state of the world that we find ourselves existing in. I'm torn as a woman of African descent. I'm torn with all of the information that is out here. You read stories about Alphonso Jackson talking about how the city of New Orleans will never be as black as it was already. You hear stories of the FEMA not keeping track of the folks that have left, that there's no real central database tracking the hundreds of thousands of people that have been displaced. Black folks being moved to Utah, put up in apartments in Utah already. It's wild. Living in Utah in apartments already. So I'm torn, you know, these folks that just want to be able to live in peace. But I recognize the political power that exists where they were living in New Orleans. And then you have to ask the question of, well, what kind of environment will they be going back to, would they be going back to in New Orleans? How toxic is the environment there? I know they're going to face some toxicity in Utah, but how toxic will their environment be in New Orleans? We need to discuss that. How bad is it? And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining us this morning from Washington, D.C., Hugh Kaufman. He is a senior policy analyst for the EPA. Mr. Kaufman, good morning.
Oh, good morning, ma'am.
How are you?
Fine, thank you so much.
My pleasure. It's bad, isn't it?
Well, there are parts of New Orleans that I find are very dangerous. I'm very concerned that there has not been an adequate environmental assessment done. It's barely just beginning, and the mayor has signaled a call for everybody basically to start coming back, over 200,000 people, and there's already been documented the fact that parts of it are basically like an open sewer with industrial waste, all the sewer waste there, mold, spores. And what really concerns me is when I turn on television like everyone else in America to see what's happening, I see heroes, military folks, kids, Coast Guard, volunteers, police, fire, residents going back. None of them are wearing respirators. And the air in most of New Orleans is putrid. Now, what's contained in there are pathogens, bacteria, viruses, spores, mold spores, and hazardous industrial chemical vapors.
Well, the part of me is thinking, as you're talking, is, well, one of the reasons why, could it be a PR thing, that they don't want people going back with face masks on because that indicates something this bad in New Orleans and the people maybe shouldn't be there?
I think so. Also, there's no potable water. There has not been adequate water testing, but we do know that there's bacteria, viruses, and hazardous industrial waste in the water. And the mayor says, well, don't drink it, but you can bathe in it.
Well, huh?
What he says.
I mean, I guess maybe something has changed since the last time I took a shower, but I thought that everything in our body absorbs the water that comes on top of us.
Right, and if you've got a little cut, it'll go right into you. I'm very concerned that in order to get good television images, because America was shocked, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The world was shocked with the TV images. In order to get good TV images, I think the decision makers have put over 200,000 people at serious health risk, and the heroes. I mean, those young military kids that went out there and are still going out there and working and trying to find folks, trying to identify structures that are unsafe. All those youngsters, not just from that, the Army, but, fire department people from as far away as Maine or California, all going in there unprotected. And I'm very concerned there's a high risk of creating some sort of an epidemic.
Well,
and it's like an open sewer.
And we can bring up the C word. We can talk about cholera, can't we?
I think you can. I think you can, but not just cholera. But I don't want to scare everybody, but I just think it's irresponsible of the powers that be, the mayor, to allow this to happen and not require, if they're going to bring people back, for God's sake. Put respirators on them.
But
it's interesting, I was talking to the media folks down there, some of the folks that are doing the filming, etc., and their management is not giving them respirators. They have paper masks. Well, paper masks, the pores of those masks are larger than the fine particles that contain the bacteria, the viruses, the mold, the hazardous vapors. So when you breathe deep, because you have to breathe harder, you're putting that hazardous material deeper into your lungs. Now, one thing we found after the 9/11 catastrophe in New York 4 years ago, when they didn't issue respirators to the heroes, the fire, the police, the military, etc., there's been a health screening program of them at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. 75% of those heroes are now very ill, and they're starting to die off 4 years later, because they didn't have adequate respiratory protection. I'm concerned we could see a similar thing in New Orleans 4 years down the line.
And you've mentioned the mayor several times, but the federal government has a huge responsibility in this. If this were a town of 2,000 people, nobody would be allowed to go back into that town under these circumstances.
That's correct. The federal government testified to Congress the end of last week that they're going to let all these decisions be made by the mayor.
Well, that's
they're not going to involve themselves at the local decision making.
And that seems to me a pretty calculating decision to make.
Sounds very political to me. It doesn't sound like a public health decision made by the public health experts.
So when we talk about the dangers that people are facing, the history of New Orleans, it's been referred to as a toxic gumbo before Katrina.
Well, it's not so much New Orleans as that southern Louisiana, southwestern Mississippi area, where there are a lot of petrochemical and chemical companies, a lot of Superfund sites that need to be cleaned up. And so you had more of a toxic loading than you would, say, Utah. But a lot of that stuff that was stored there, disposed of there, dumped in the sewers there, was to some degree separated from folks. It's all there in the toxic gumbo now. It's drying out, and so it's in the soil, in the dust, And, of course, it's in the water.
And I think that some people have in their minds and in their limited understanding of how toxins work, in some people's mind, well, once the water recedes, then the problem is fixed.
Well, yeah, it's fixed because when you watch television, you don't see gunky-looking water with a sheen on it and with, you know, every once in a while a dead body floating by. So what happens is in fact, I've heard the news commentators refer to what's in the homes as river mud. It's not river mud. It's basically the sludge from the open sewer that the water was.
And there's danger there. Once the water is gone, there's still a whole lot of danger there.
Worst danger.
Talk to us about the worst danger part of
it. Because what you have left is a sludge that is slowly drying out that contains much more concentrated levels of the hazardous material that was in the water. And as it slowly dries out, it creates dust, which blows much farther. And so you'll have hazardous dust, fine particulates of it, so that a paper mask won't protect you if you breathe it, and you'll have more risk of air pollution harm than when you had the standing water. On top of that, when you had the water, people weren't there. Mm. When you have the dust, people are going to come back in. So you have more people exposed to the toxic dust.
How do you distinguish, or is there a distinction between what you will find in the soil, what you do find in the soil in New Orleans and the surrounding areas, and what you find in the soil at what has been designated to be a Superfund site?
Well, I think you'll find that if you did the calculation that this would be the largest Superfund site in the country.
But the federal government seems to be resisting the urge to describe it as such.
Well, there are two reasons why. One of them is they don't want a stigma. But the second one is it would make it much more difficult to quickly repopulate some areas for economic purposes. And if it's a Superfund site, the big petrochemical companies would have to share the cost for cleanup as opposed to the taxpayers.
Who is responsible for protecting the citizens when it comes to the air that they breathe and the land that they're on? Whose responsibility is that?
Well, all the legislation, the cleanup legislation under Superfund, et cetera, identifies one individual responsible for making those calls. And that's the President of the United States.
And yet and still, you've just said that the federal government, the President, is saying, it's not my job, I'm leaving it all up to a mayor.
That's correct.
How long should we be worried about this?
Some parts of the city, I mean, we're talking about, let's take a look at Love Canal in upstate New York, which was a contaminated area that EPA had to evacuate folks out of. It's a small area in Niagara County. And nothing like New Orleans. And it really took us a dozen years, once we got folks out, to really do a good remediation and rebuilding. New Orleans is much larger. They'll put more money into New Orleans, but I don't think this is going to get resolved anytime soon.
Can we expect to see any kind of federal money coming in for cleanup at all? If the federal government is not assessing this, if the federal government is saying, nope, it's all up to the mayor of that city, can we expect to see any kind of cleanup at all, or are we just going to build houses and buildings on top of this stuff?
Well, I think that's going to be determined on how the news media covers it. And who is running Congress and the White House? If the news media goes away, if you have one-party rule, and I say that because there is no check and balance in Washington now. You have the same party controlling Congress that controls the White House. I'm not choosing sides, which party is better. You just have one party rule. If you have the same dynamic for the next 10 years, then I think you will see the continuation of the cover-up that is going on.
What kind of role does the EPA have then in New Orleans? Is it down there at all?
Yeah, we're down there, and we're just beginning because of all the newspaper coverage.
Well, who sent you? Whose authority sent you there?
The president.
Okay.
And we are starting to develop an environmental assessment. Now, I've been on the radio and in the newspaper raising hell that, you know, we've got to start doing our job. And I, of course, you know, I'm an old guy in my 60s. I've been doing this stuff for over 35 years. That has helped also stimulate more reporters looking at those issues. And that's the only thing that's really pushing it is the media coverage.
And in terms of people dying, do we have any evidence or any proof and any stories of people actually dying as a result of the contaminants that we have?
As of now, I think the medical community has identified 5 people who have died strictly from exposure to the bacteria and viruses. But that number is going to go up. It was the same thing in New York after 9/11. The health effects really take a while until they start to grab people.
And we have to take a break. I am talking to Hugh Kaufman. He is the senior policy analyst for the EPA. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. This is Liz Brown. We are talking about the EPA in New Orleans. How dangerous is it for the citizens in New Orleans? Should anybody be in New Orleans? Do we have a toxic gumbo down there? And if we do, what are we doing about it? I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. We have much, 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 much to talk about.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Brentwood, look for stop-and-go traffic. It was an earlier accident. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Merrimack River Bridge, it's heavy traffic. Northbound 55 between Union and Arsenal, no problems to report. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry all the way into 44, look for stop-and-go traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 slows approaching Timberlake Manor and just west of 141 all the way to Mason. Eastbound 70 from 370, the Blanchet Bridge is running smoothly. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way into West Florissant. Look for heavy volume going on this hour. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to Lee May Ferry looks good. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to Mid Rivers Mall, stop and go. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker all the way into Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB, look for stop and go traffic. Westbound 64 from 15th all the way into the 5570 split. It is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is backed up on the left ramp and then slow again at Laclede's Landing. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Olive at Appalachian Trail, look for those lights not to be working. They're on red flash. Big Bend at 44, there's an accident that's been cleared, but you may see a bit of a backup. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Hey, you got to put Mercury on your list with new cars like the midsize Milan, new SUVs like the Mariner Hybrid, and redesigned Mountaineer. Why blend in when you can stand out? Visit your local Lincoln Mercury dealer today for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, We have 72 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 72 degrees and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, weather, and traffic in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Since we first asked that question several weeks ago, we've learned that some people can't live without Liz, while others jump for joy about Jackson & Jackson. This is Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis. Send us a postcard or email of 100 words or less telling us why you listen to WGNU. You could win a package of free stuff from your friends at AM 920. Send your postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, 63108. Send your email to cgear@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings continue through Friday, October 28th. One entry per address, one prize per family. One winner announced each day during Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan, Monday through Fridays from 4 until 6. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at wgnu.net.
Akbar Electric, Commercial Industrial Residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Guy Gullman keeps you company after dark. Online at WGNU.net.
Next on Mondays at 9, a new report is out called Beyond Delay, the 13 Most Corrupt Members of Congress. We'll look at the egregious, unethical, and probably illegal activities of this baker's dozen, one of which is Missouri's own Roy Blunt, the governor's dad. 2 years ago, he divorced his wife of 30 years to marry a lobbyist for Philip Morris, and then tried to insert wording into Homeland Security legislation that would have been to Philip Morris' benefit. Blunt's other son, Andrew, also lobbies for Philip Morris, who just happens to be his biggest political campaign contributor. There's so much more to tell, and we will tell you all about it with Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. We are talking this morning about toxic gumbo in New Orleans in the wake of Katrina, Hurricane Katrina. And we have as a guest Hugh Kaufman. He is the senior policy analyst for the EPA. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Hugh, welcome back. One of the things that I was thinking about during the break was what instructions, if any, do you see the city or the federal government giving homeowners when they go back in to try and clean their homes as to keep them safe?
Well, basically, the law actually requires the federal government to do a lot of the cleanup. And where there has been release of hazardous materials, like in St. Bernard's Parish from Murphy Oil, the company that had the release, Murphy Oil, is required to do the cleanup. But the government at all levels, both the local, state, and federal, is telling the public, when you go back, you do it yourselves. And it might be nice for you to wear goggles and rubber gloves. And if you can find a respirator, that's okay. Or maybe a paper mask, but don't worry about it. And if you get, you know, a cut or something, wash it off, even though there's no potable water to wash it off with. And basically, folks, you're on your own.
It would be like, you, and correct me if I'm wrong, it would be like taking a busload of people in the middle of a city and with no instruction and dropping them off in a Superfund area and telling them just clean as you think appropriate.
Exactly. It's very, very irresponsible. Most of us on the inside, the technical folks who have been around for decades, our mouths are open and our eyes.
Is this the worst you've ever seen?
I've never seen such a total breakdown of government at all levels in response to a hazardous threat in the United States since we started the EPA 35 years ago.
What do you think is the overriding reason of the disconnect of the federal government from this issue?
Money and politics, like everything else.
Let me get to some of my callers here. Dolores, you have a question or comment for our guest, Hugh Kaufman.
Yes, I do, Mr. Kaufman and Dr. Brown. On being proactive, at what point should the people receiving water from the Mississippi and the surrounding states from Louisiana start boiling their own water and possibly adding disinfectant to it?
Thanks, Dolores. Does boiling the water have any impact on this, Hugh? Is this as simple as boiling water?
Well, my concern with boiling water, and I know government officials are telling folks to boil water, that will kill the bacteria and viruses, but they've also identified toxic heavy metals like lead and arsenic in the water. And when you boil the water, that increases the concentration of lead and arsenic. So I'm not sure boiling water is going to resolve everything. What certainly has to be done before people are allowed to drink tap water is in those areas affected is to have a very quick but necessary analysis made public of what's in all the tap waters in the affected areas. Not just New Orleans.
Has it been difficult for you, Hugh, for the EPA to get its reports reported anywhere? Are you all being hampered in any way of exposing what people are being exposed to in the New Orleans area?
Well, I haven't been hampered, but certainly the amount of support. The folks down there are getting in terms of financial support to have the, you know, money to hire the testers and do all that's required is a limiting factor. And certainly decisions are being made at the high political level in the government that affect how quickly and how thoroughly EPA can respond.
Are you saying that the EPA is not receiving the money that it needs to receive to do an effective and accurate job of their work in the aftermath of Katrina?
Oh, there's no question that the Environmental Protection Agency at this time does not have the budget to do even pay for the water testing that has to be done at all the taps in the areas affected by Katrina and by Rita. There's no question about that.
Would you feel safe being in New Orleans and investigating on the part of the EPA? Is it too unsafe for the EPA to be there?
Well, if I was wearing protective gear and a respirator and had potable water with me, I'd feel okay. But I certainly wouldn't go into that area without a respirator and protective gear.
And again, describe for us what you mean by respirator, because some people think of the mask over their face. You're not talking about that.
No, I'm not talking about a paper mask. You'll see some of our contract personnel on television with something that fits snugly around the nose and mouth and has cartridges on either side of the cheek, and you'll change those cartridges periodically.
We've seen those on television.
Right. That's a respirator.
Okay. And there is no sign, no notice, no letter to anybody saying that this is the required wear. In fact, there's no notice to anybody saying that there's any kind of required wear to breathe the air in that area.
That's correct. And even the news media people down there are not being provided respirators, and they're breathing it in. And I expect to see some major problems. The initial signs are cold-like symptoms. I expect to see some major problems from them right now as we speak.
And talk to us about the possibilities of illnesses coming out of the exposure in New Orleans area and in the aftermath of Katrina.
Well, it's very similar to the situation for the responders and the people who were near Ground Zero after the World Trade Towers came down. Mount Sinai Hospital has done a health survey of the folks involved with that. And 4 years later, almost 75% of them are very sick, and they're starting to die off.
Die.
A large percentage are incapacitated now, and it's growing.
Die. We're going to take a break. We're going to get to some of our callers here at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to Hugh Kaufman, Senior Policy Analyst for the EPA. We're talking about the aftermath of Katrina, the health concerns, the toxic gumbo in New Orleans in the aftermath of Katrina. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it. Not even here. No one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. The Senate approved a defense spending measure on Monday that gives the president another $50 billion to spend on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's part of an overall $440 billion defense spending package. The House has already approved $45 billion for the war effort and has also approved a version of the defense spending bill that totals $410 billion. An Appropriations Committee is now going to take up the bill to reach a final draft. So far, America has spent about $350 billion for both combat and reconstruction efforts in both countries since the September 11th attacks took place. Other parts of the defense bill you might find of interest: an increase in the number of soldiers to 522,000, an increase of the Marines to 178,000, another $422 million for National Guard and Reserve equipment updates, and $622 million to do additional recruiting and provide retention incentives. And Dateline Washington. Former CBS anchorman Dan Rather says his network told him not to do a follow-up report on President Bush's files regarding his time in the Texas Air National Guard. Rather spoke at the National Press Club last week and said he wanted to go deeper into the story. The original Guard files have been gone through by Republican operatives and changed using a sophisticated text scanner that actually changed the printing context of the whole file. But the independent investigation that was created by CBS and led by former Republican Attorney General Dick Thornburgh never came to the conclusion that the documents were fake, even though it is a felony to change government records. Rather, said the Republicans then turned the issue around by saying the documents that he and CBS reporters had looked at were faked and had been doctored by the reporters to make the president look bad. This took the heat off of attention to President Bush's service record that had been under scrutiny just before last year's presidential election, which saw the president get reelected. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I suck a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Single game tickets on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster outlets, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a new report is out called Beyond Delay, the 13 Most Corrupt Members of Congress. We'll look at the egregious, unethical, and probably illegal activities of this baker's dozen, one of which is Missouri's own Roy Blunt, the governor's dad. 2 years ago, he divorced his wife of 30 years to marry a lobbyist for Philip Morris, and then tried to insert wording into Homeland Security legislation that would have been to Philip Morris' benefit. Blunt's other son, Andrew, also lobbies for Philip Morris, who just happens to be his biggest political campaign contributor. There's so much more to tell, and we will tell you all about it with Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington on the next edition of Mondays at 9. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Hugh Kaufman. He's the senior senior policy analyst for the EPA. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the extraordinary, the unbelievable, the breathtaking pollution and the aftermath of Katrina, the danger for the citizens in Katrina, and what is not being done to protect our citizens. And welcome back, Hugh. Let me get to some of these calls here. David from San Francisco, you have a question for Hugh Kaufman.
Yeah, morning, Liz.
Good morning.
And, Hugh, great show. I was interested in a couple of different things. First of all, the corporate liability, it's probably almost trackable to imagine that the corporate donors to Bush and these cronies I understand there's something called Chemical Alley along in there, a huge lineup of refineries along, was it the Mississippi River and Pontchartrain, and that the spills from the flooding in these chemical refineries is what's really causing the danger. Is that right?
Well, it's not just the releases from hazardous material storage areas and refineries. We've identified 44 releases in the area, not just in New Orleans, and almost as much hazardous petrochemical and petroleum releases as occurred with the Exxon Valdez situation up in Alaska. And that does create substantial financial liability to the owners of that waste material that used to be petrochemical product.
Well, the reason I ask, I understand there's, and maybe I can send it over to Liz's website, there are people that have been going down there and trying to map out the hazardous waste areas. And they've been putting things online. I don't have the website in front of me, but I know that this is happening. And so I'm wondering, first of all, if there's a way that the diaspora, so to speak, of all of these people that have been kicked out of the area, they were toxified and then they were chased out with no health examination, and then they're essentially going to cities without any tracking. For example, on Saturday morning, NPR's Morning Edition had some quotes of volunteers who were loading people onto the buses, and they were specifically instructed to not tell these people where they were going.
Mm.
So the idea that you could send people who have been entirely covered in some kind of a toxic muck, you put them onto a clean bus, whether or not they're clean when they climb onto this bus, they're putting toxic wastes into this bus, then they're shipping them to cities afar, they're essentially toxifying these people once they get there. They sit in this muck the whole trip, and then when they get there, they are essentially dumping this hazardous waste into some new community.
And we haven't tracked them. Okay.
Right, exactly. So the medical staffs, once they get there, are not aware of what they've been exposed to. The local counties, if they're going to small counties, they may not have the budget to be able to look at what kinds of hazardous wastes they're bringing in. And then there would be no ongoing medical care or ability to track them as such. So I'm wondering, it would certainly make sense to develop some kind of a website so that not only just like the Red Cross and many websites were helping locate families, it might be just as helpful to create some kind of a website so that people who were in given neighborhoods and were tracking, so to speak, of what they were in proximity to, so that at least some portion would be available, to help them in 2 years or 5 years or 20 years.
Well, let me, David, let me let Hugh weigh in on that. Thanks for that. That's a great observation. That's wonderful.
Sure, no trouble.
Thank you. Hugh, is there an error? Are you all doing something like that? Have you considered doing something like that?
We are so far away from tracking the health, let alone providing health care services to the folks that have evacuated all over the country.
Mm.
This is a very expensive proposition. We have discussed it, the need for it, but there is no budget for that. And the budget is what enables you to have trained medical people, et cetera, to put together such a health survey.
And
I think there's going to be some health survey work done on the military folks down there.
Now, is there a time concern here? I mean, is the more days that pass, does that eliminate opportunities to find out information? Does it also, insofar as the culpability of the oil companies, the gas companies, the more time that passes, the less traceability that we have?
No, I think that's certainly true. But in terms of people's health, I think you could put together a good database and people could volunteer to provide information. So that you can find where the evacuees went and allow them the opportunity to have a health survey of them and provide them medical care where problems are found. But that's an expensive proposition.
It certainly
and
is.
Money has not been budgeted for that. Already we're looking at potentially over $200 billion just to remediate and clean up.
Let me get to another caller here. Don.
Hello?
Yes, Don, quickly, please.
Hugh, I have a question or comment about the long-term effects of the toxins in New Orleans. New Orleans is sinking, and the demand to rebuild the levees is going to increase the rate at which New Orleans is sinking.
Mm-hmm.
And the ferocity of hurricanes is increasing, so that the next hurricane is probably going to be even stronger. And so given the fact that the next time New Orleans gets hit, it's going to probably be a little bit lower, so the water's going to be higher, and the I worry about the toxins that a cleanup of things like lead and arsenic not being totally possible, that there's going to be even more toxins the next time that there's a flood, which is probably not going to be that far distant in the future. And it just seems to me that New Orleans is a complete death trap as of now.
Thank you, Don.
Okay.
Well, I don't think all of New Orleans is a death trap, but I do think that there are areas of New Orleans that will not be able to be rebuilt and safe.
What should people do, Hugh? We have like 30 seconds here. What should people do?
Well, in the short run, if you're going to go down there, and the newspaper the media people that are down there, please put on respirators. The military should give the kids that are there working respirators to diminish the amount of respiratory and health problems we're going to see 5 and 10 years down the line. That has to be done immediately. And don't send anyone to areas where there's no potable water to wash or drink.
Should citizens be pressuring their congressional members to put more money into the EPA for this investigation and for this cleanup and for the efforts that you need to involve yourselves in?
Only if the members will make sure that the money goes to that and doesn't buy more guns and cowboys to play with.
Mm. Hugh Kaufman, Senior Policy Analyst for the EPA. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, keep your respirator on. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. She's never been a judge, but Harriet Myers is President Bush's choice to succeed retiring Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. The president made the announcement this morning in the Oval Office.
For the past 5 years, Harriet Myers has served in critical roles in our nation's government, including one of the most important legal positions in the country, White House counsel.
Harriet Myers stood by the president's side and also spoke.
If confirmed, I recognize that I will have a tremendous responsibility to keep our judicial system strong and to help ensure that the courts meet their obligations to strictly apply the laws and the Constitution.
President Bush will soon be at the Supreme Court for the installation of John Roberts as the 17th Chief Justice. Will Marshall with the Progressive Policy Institute says this event will impact the lives of millions of Americans.
The Roberts Court is going to be with us for a very long time, could be 20 or 30 years.
And President Bush may have the chance to make a third nomination to the aging Supreme Court before his term ends in 2007. The number of dead in the Lake George tour boat accident is down by 1 to 20 people. Divers are returning this morning to the 40-foot glass-enclosed boat now at the bottom of the lake in upstate New York. There were 47 senior citizens on a fall foliage cruise when the boat flipped over and sank. Joanne Rahal is among the survivors.
Some of the people didn't know how to swim, and some had life jackets on, some didn't. And, you know, it was just a horrific thing to see.
It happened in perfect weather. And the first Nobel Prize of the week in medicine is awarded to two Australian scientists for their work with bacteria and stomach ulcers. This is ABC News.
Are you one of the millions of seniors trying to decide which Medicare Part D prescription drug plan is right for you? Help is as close as your nearby Save-On or Osco pharmacy. We can set up an appointment with you to help answer your questions about this new plan. You'll find free brochures to better understand your options, plus bring in a list of the medications you're taking, and we'll provide you with a list of drug plan options that cover those medications. The help you need is as close as your Save-On and Osco pharmacies. Stop by today.
Unsure about Medicare prescription insurance? Your friendly and knowledgeable Walgreens pharmacy staff can answer your questions. Or ask for the Show Me Guide. It's full of great information and even has examples of how Medicare prescription insurance can help you save. These benefits will take effect in January of 2006, but you'll have to make some important decisions before then. So stop by Walgreens for information about Medicare prescription insurance. Many choices, one solution, Walgreens.
Remember where you were 10 years ago today when the O.J. Simpson verdict was announced?
It was a sensational murder trial marked by allegations of racism, planted evidence, and judicial misconduct.
Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of a crime of murder.
The debate did not stop after Simpson was acquitted.
So obvious that he was guilty.
I now am having very hard feelings not being racist.
This is the American system. The jury has spoken. That's it.
I can't see how they could have convicted him on the shoddy evidence they had.
It was a trial that transfixed the nation. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Once again, our top story, President Bush nominates White House counsel Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court seat of retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Myers is 60. She's never been a judge. She's a longtime Bush confidant, and her nomination was proposed by some Democrats as well as Republicans. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by Schick Quattro Power. Police say they think they have found a car involved in a hit-and-run accident that injured a child in University City. Investigators say a 9-year-old girl was crossing the street in the 6500 block of Corbett Avenue when she was struck by an Oldsmobile Delta on Saturday afternoon. The victim was taken to a local hospital where she was in stable condition. The driver remains at large. Two universities in the Show Me State are making the grade when it comes to graduation success rates. A recent study shows that Northwest Missouri State University and Truman State University are among the 12 higher learning institutions across the country with the highest graduation rates.
Truman State has had a consistently high graduation rate, and Northwest Missouri State was selected because they've had a very improved rate since 1996.
That's John Hamming, the Director of Special Projects and Developments for the American Association of State Colleges and Universities. Missouri was the only state that had two schools identified in this study. The Novus Development Company says it needs even more time to close on homes in the Sunset Manor neighborhood. In August, Novus told homeowners it didn't have enough funding to close on their properties as originally planned and promised to close by this past Friday. Novus began the neighborhood buyout after the City of Sunset Hills Aldermanic Board approved the use of eminent domain and voted to give the company $42 million in public funding for a $165.2 million development. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that a deal with the city gives Novus until February 25th to buy more than 200 Sunset Manor homes without penalty. And finally, beginning this week, all rental units in unincorporated St. Louis County will need a special inspection. Dave Roan, a spokesperson for the St. Louis County Department of Public Works, says rental units will need reoccupancy inspection before the property can be re-rented. The new inspection requirement will affect about 33,000 rental apartments and houses. Landlords whose properties are north of Highway 40 should call 314-615-7346 to schedule an inspection, and landlords whose properties are south of Highway 40 should call 314-615-4142. New Schick Quattro Power. It has four blades and power near the head. Do a smooth glide and get a close, less irritating shave. Turn on the power of four. Available at a store near you. That's the news for the 8 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Westbound 70 after Cass Avenue, all roadways are reopened after an earlier stall is cleared. That traffic is easing. Eastbound 40 at Spady off-ramp, looks like that'd be reopened after an earlier stall was cleared. Eastbound Manchester, at Reese Road is closed due to an accident. Eastbound 44 from Bowles all the way into Merrimack River Bridge, you can expect slow traffic. Northbound 55 between 44 and 70 is easing after an earlier stall in westbound 70 at Cass after Cass. Northbound 270 between Chaffington and Marshall, you've got stop and go traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 at Zumbel and 270, that's flowing freely. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, look for very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, you've got heavy volume coming in out of St. Charles County. Eastbound 40 from Ballas all the way into Hanley is stop and go. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 at the Boone Bridge, there's construction, the right lane is closed. Westbound 5570 from the Exchange all the way onto the PSB is stop and go as well. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to the 5570 split, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic between the Gravel Pit and Laclede's Landing, look for slow traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, you've got slow traffic there as well. Olive at Appalachian Trail, those signals have been repaired. Brown Road at Houdershell, there's an injury accident involving a motorcycle, and that is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust your local Toyota dealers that know your vehicle best for convenient service and competitive prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes, they do it all. That's moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, a new report is out called Beyond Delay, the 13 most corrupt members of Congress. We'll look at the egregious, unethical, and probably illegal activities of this baker's dozen, one of which is Missouri's own Roy Blunt, the governor's dad. 2 years ago, he divorced his wife of 30 years to marry a lobbyist for Philip Morris and then tried to insert wording into Homeland Security legislation that would have been to Philip Morris' benefit. Blunt's other son, Andrew, also lobbies for Philip Morris, who just happens to be his biggest political campaign contributor. There's so much more to tell, and we will tell you all about it with Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Itself. We believe that all men are created equal. yet many are denied equal treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. Dolly.
Hello, Liz.
Good morning.
Listen, I heard you talking about, I just got through, finished that book on The Bush on the Couch.
What'd you think of it?
It told the truth, that's all.
And we're going to be doing a show on that on October 17th.
Okay.
So everybody, please listen to that show. We're going to have the doctor on that wrote the book. It's an incredible book, isn't it?
Right, and I got another one on here. It's called Veering Right, How mm-hmm. the Bush Administration Subverts the Law for Conservative Causes.
Mm.
And listen, the main thing I was calling you about, too, because I sure did enjoy that book. Yes, do you know anything about the African Village or the Black Liberation Radio?
No, I don't.
Because I sent him some money for a tape and two cassettes, because he talked about FEMA one Sunday morning.
Okay.
And I have written to him, and I have called and called and called,
that's
and they won't return my call for some reason. Dr. Ray Hagan.
Still haven't gotten your stuff, huh?
Never got my stuff.
Oh.
They got my money.
Okay. Not right now.
And this is Dr. Ray Hagan. I want everybody to know, but he doesn't follow through.
All right now.
But let me tell you, that book on Bush, I hope everybody listened to you that day.
All right.
Because it's an eye-opener.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Thank you for your call, Dolly.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. I think even though they didn't coin the phrase, and it's one of my new shows that I watch, you know, Lost. If you haven't had a chance to see it, I really enjoy it. It's very, very good. Suspenseful, scary, all those kinds of good stuff. But one of the phrases that they use in Lost all the time is certainly something that they did not coin. It's something that many of us have lived our life by. And the phrase is that, you know, things happen for a reason. Things happen for a reason. And you have to be, if you're going to be here effectively, if you're going to be here in a healthy way, if you're going to be here with your eyes open, you have to take stock of patterns. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Women are predisposed to at least an understanding of patterns. Our bodies make it clear that you need to be aware of patterns. Every 27 days, every 30 days, you are aware of patterns and things that happen to your bodies, cycles that your body go through. We are predisposed biologically to at least an appreciation of patterns and reoccurring things. And as a woman and as a member of the community of people of African descent, and particularly those of us of African descent here in America, we are also familiar with reoccurrences, patterns, cycles, if you will. And then being a spiritual person, you go to that things happen for a reason. Understand that things happen oftentimes to provide clarity. Having said all that, I get to the place in the moment in time that we find ourselves in today, the 10-year anniversary of the verdict of O.J. Simpson. I wish Dave, one of our callers who passed on a few months ago, were here to talk about the O.J. Simpson verdict. I think he's clear where he is right now about what happened then. But the O.J. Simpson verdict exposed, much as Katrina 10 years later exposed, much as Bill Bennett's comments 10 years later exposed, much as the Republican Party and right-wing media's embracing and defense of Bill Bennett and his racist to the bone comments, that the United States of America has a racist history and has a racist present. Bill Bennett said out his mouth a fundamentally, inescapably, pervertedly, a perverted statement, that if you want to reduce crime significantly, kill every black child. Kill them. Kill them. Kill every black child. That is the definition of racism. And the George W. Bush did not denounce this. What did he say? What were the words that George W. Bush said? Remember, 10 years after O.J. Simpson, where white people and people of African descent looked at the very same thing and saw completely different based on color. All of a sudden, the white community, far too many people within the white community, said the criminal justice system doesn't work. Now, the white community never said the criminal justice system didn't work with Emmett Till, the Scottsboro boys. The white community hasn't said that the criminal justice system doesn't work when a person that has a rock and a person that has a bag of powder cocaine, one black, one white, one goes to jail forever, one doesn't go to jail at all. The white community has not had, how the kids said, the white community has, far too many people within the white community has never tripped on the criminal justice system until O.J. Simpson was acquitted of a crime that he did not commit. There were white folks out there that were saying that we need to eliminate the jury system. Do away with the jury system. Katrina, 10 years later, black people are looting white people fine stuff. Black people are refugees. White people are survivors. Dogs are sent, are found and caught and captured in the aftermath of Katrina, are put on air-conditioned buses, black people herded on to open back bed trucks. Dogs knew where they were going. Black folks didn't know that they were going to Utah until they landed on the soil of Utah, Salt Lake City. Dogs knew where they were going. The dogs knew. The owners of the dogs knew where they were going to be shipped off to before black people found out where they were going to be shipped off to. Dogs riding in air-conditioned buses 10 years later. How far have we come in this country? How far can a noose swing from a tree? We haven't come far at all. Bill Bennett said black people, crime would be reduced if you kill all black babies. Whether the baby comes from Oprah's womb or for some poor mother in jail for inducing drugs. Every black child, I was a criminal when I came out my mama's womb. My brother was a criminal when he came out my mama's womb. All my friends' babies are criminals and they weren't criminals because they committed a crime. They were criminal because they came out of a black woman's body. That is the definition of racism. Bill Bennett's brother can say, my brother is not a racist all day long. I would say that there is not a Klansman in America that thinks that they're racist. That don't mean jack. That don't mean squat. That don't mean none. And what did George Bush say? He said, I believe those comments of Bill Bennett's are inappropriate, huh? Inappropriate. They're not wrong. They're not reprehensible. They're not untrue. In other words, George Bush was saying, just the timing of it. You know, keep that at the dinner table where we always keep it. You know, that's just dinner conversation. Why are you saying that in front of God and everybody? Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. My name is Liz Brown. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Car phone.
Yes, Liz.
Yes.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Good. It's an honor to talk to you. Let me say that.
Well, good. It's good to have you here, Nat.
Listen, I was wondering if you caught yesterday's Fox and Friends news show.
I was told about it. I was told that what Brett Hume said, apologize for what?
Well, you know, what struck me, though, was Juan Williams. You could almost see the anguish on his face. He had a look of a man who had realized that the crowd he was hanging with had finally shown their colors. And he was almost at the point of tears.
I'm sure
when
he was
trying to explain to Brett Humes why this remark by Bennett was so offensive.
Why it's so racist. It's not offensive. It is racist. Let's use the right term.
It is racist. And so Juan Williams, I mean, he was so exasperated. It really seemed as though he was about to cry there on the set.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed as though he had, I don't know. I know you've had Juan on your show and whatnot.
You know what? After what I heard that he went through yesterday, I'm going to try to get him back on because I really want to talk to him about that.
That would be because he had the look of a man in his eyes who, you know, he just seemed as though for the crowd he was hanging around, finally they showed his colors.
Well, no, finally.
He understood.
Yeah, finally. He absorbed who they are.
Absolutely.
Because when Brett Hume, to me, I don't understand how Juan Williams, and I'm not a man, so I can't speak as for the energy that propels men to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But as a woman, and as a woman of African descent, I don't know how he prevented himself from lunging across the table and putting his hands around the neck of Brett Hume when Brett Hume said, for what?
You know, I don't either. And if you saw the look,
I don't know how he stopped himself because we would have thrown down on that.
If you saw the look on Brett Hume's face, he had as much anger and as much passion as Juan Williams. Only difference was Juan was arguing for the sake of the truth. Brett Humes was completely flabbergasted that Juan took offense at this statement.
No, Brett Hume was propelled by the same racist energy that propels all races.
Absolutely.
What struck me was
the whole crowd of people all agreed that this Bennett guy wasn't a racist.
Mm.
And so I would love to hear Juan on your show, because I think after yesterday, hopefully Juan Williams will be a changed man and be even more radical in his views.
I think if you've been noticed, if you've been paying attention to Juan recently, the energy and he's been more confrontational as of late within the last year or so than he has been in the past. I think that this has been an evolution or just, you know, finally it's just like, it's not professional differences, because I think that people, I believe because after having him on the show, I believe that he just thought we can have professional differences of opinion and still be nice people and still be good people.
Absolutely.
I think that what he is clear on now is that these are not professional differences of opinion.
No.
You are dang racist.
Right.
And bottom line, and you hate me and everybody that looks like me because of my color. You think that I'm a criminal sitting here. When I walk away, you talk about me the same way that you talk about somebody that's in jail legitimately for committing a crime.
Well, when you have him on your show, tell Juan to come on back home, and we'll welcome him home.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Car phone.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Yes, I agree with what you're saying here. I heard the statement a couple of times, and Bennett was trying to say, was like you said, they talk about over the dinner table. That's exactly the way they talk. If these scenarios was in place, if black people wasn't around, we could just get all this done.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear people on this radio station who call in about some of our children who are misguided, they're not really talking about the criminals of the world. They're talking about every black face that they pass in the streets.
And has George W. Bush condemned the statement as racist, which it is, the statement that all you have to do is kill every boy and girl, black child, as they come out, before they come out of their mama's womb, then crime will be reduced. That means that every black child is a criminal.
Right, and like you said, that's a dinner table conversation, and they're having it every day. But let me say this. This court is going to change America and how they, I think that they're trying to set up where everything that has been done, and I think that they hate that we are gotten through the voting rights, all of those things that's been through this America has been, they've just detested this Republican Party, and I think that they're putting people in place for everybody's freedom to be
changed. I get that, caller. What I don't get is Patrick Leahy, he knows that. He knows more than you and I will ever know. About the racism, about the classism, about the wickedness, about the lawlessness, and about the agenda of the Republican Party. Explain to me, knowing that, how you can say, I trust that Roberts will keep his word when he is an appointee of George W. Bush. You know, I understand where the Republicans are going. And also, remember, Patrick Leahy has a black child, okay, or has a black grandchild. And he said in response to Bill Bennett's comments, well, that's really bad, but I have a black child, and I'm not going to comment on that. I have a black grandchild, and you ain't going to lose your mind over that because you agree with it?
They think it's just going to go away, but it's just building and building to where we as a people are just going to have to fight our way out of whatever they're trying to do. Because they're trying to set us up. Not only us now. The middle class didn't realize they're setting them up too, but they're setting us up for failure, and we just going to have to fight.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I ain't done here.
Used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell low. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Nancy, don't you whip that boy.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 70 at Grand, there's an accident. It's been cleared. Traffic backs up approaching West Flores and eastbound 40 at Brentwood. There's a report of an accident. Right lane is blocked. Traffic backs up all the way to Ballas. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270. Slow traffic in the right lane. Northbound 55 between Virginia and Lafayette. No problems to report. Northbound 270 at Gravois all the way into 44. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at Mid-River Mall. and Blanchett Bridge. That traffic is flowing freely. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way into New Florissant. Look for no problems there. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to Lee May Ferry. Expect normal traffic. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley. You've got slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Boone Bridge. Look for construction there. That has the right lane closed. Southbound 170 at Brentwood Boulevard all the way into 40. Look for slow traffic in the right lane as you hit those approaches. Westbound 5570 split from 4th Street onto the PSB. It is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing. Look for traffic to be easing this hour. And in both directions, 255 at Camp Jackson Road, you can expect construction over on the Illinois side as well as westbound 70 between Kings Highway and Union. Look for construction having one lane closed. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Every day in October, $5 on Little Lotto against any single draw could win you a trip for four to the Super Game in Detroit, February the 5th. See retailers for details. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73, both under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Can prayer really be effective? What effects can it have? Is there only one way to pray? Hear from people who've prayed a lot in their lives and hear about the powerful results. Also learn more about how you can pray on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel, Sundays at 1 p.m. here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Since we first asked that question several weeks ago, we've learned that some people can't live without Liz, while others jump for joy about Jackson and Jackson. This is Charles Gear, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis. Send us a postcard or email of 100 words or less telling us why you listen to WGNU. You could win a package of free stuff from your friends at AM 920. Send your postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, 63108. Send your email to cgear@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings continue through Friday, October 28th. One entry per address, one prize per family. One winner announced each day during Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan, Monday through Fridays from 4 until 6. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at wgnu.net.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
You can ride with the James Gang. Just saddle up with Dennis James online at WGNU.net.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a new report is out called Beyond Delay, the 13 Most Corrupt Members of Congress. We'll look at the egregious, unethical, and probably illegal activities of this baker's dozen, one of which is Missouri's own Roy Blunt, the governor's dad. 2 years ago, he divorced his wife of 30 years to marry a lobbyist for Philip Morris and then tried to insert wording into Homeland Security legislation that would have been to Philip Morris' benefit. Blunt's other son, Andrew, also lobbies for Philip Morris, who just happens to be his biggest political campaign contributor. There's so much more to tell, and we will tell you all about it with Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington on the next edition of Mondays at 9. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I've got a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. Said it's a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. But
but I can't turn back. My heart is fixed, my mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith.
Let me tell you, this is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get up, get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, darling. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Pretty good. I know when you heard this statement, you like to hit the roof, didn't you?
Who? The statement
about Bill Bennett.
It's not that I hit the roof. It's for me as a writer and as a radio commentator. It's just it's additional evidence. It is proof of what. The rightness of what I've been saying all the years I've been on the air and all the years I've been writing.
Because I didn't get a chance to call you and everything. Because when I wake up, your voice is like music to my ears. But when you said that, my whole circuit system just shorted out.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not a racist statement that I haven't heard of, I just lost it.
You know, and I love the attempt that the right wing is using to move away from the racism of the statement to say, I didn't ask for the genocide. I didn't say that black people should be, there should be genocide of black people. No one is saying that you did. What we're saying is that you are a racist.
You are
a racist, and you are, and shame on you for defending your racism.
They kept playing, he was trying to apologize and all that, talking about, I'm not a racist and all that.
Yes, you are.
I don't want to hear that. Mess.
Yes, you are a racist. Yes, you are a racist. Yeah, and your brother's a lie. Right. Your brother's a lie. And that makes you a racist. You defend the Klan. That's what your brother does. You are racist, and your brother defends the Klan.
And talking about this, and it's like some, and I say this, like some white people don't do crimes.
Wait a minute. Bill Bennett has had more exposure to white crime than most Americans have. Bill Bennett has said, you can't rack up $1 million in gambling money and not come across and not be sitting next to a bunch of criminals. Okay? You're not in Vegas gambling $1 million a day and you ain't sitting next to white criminals. You ain't doing that. You are not doing it. He knows more white criminals than you and I will ever know. And I opened up a book and saw a picture of Tricky Dick. We're not talking about that kind of no. We're talking about sit down, have dinner with, know their family, go to parties at their house, white criminals. So don't you dare talk about anything black when all of your life experience has been the majority of the criminals that you have known have been white criminals.
Sure enough right about that.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, babe.
4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, the big white criminals, too. Ken Lay and that bunch.
The super white criminals.
Super. Wait, they don't need to be pointing no fingers at no colored person because we've got...
No person of African descent.
We can match them right down the line with bigger time criminals.
Absolutely.
But you know, the middle class and the poor white people better wake up. These people, you know, if they're doing these kind of things and saying them, and we see it every day, they don't have any respect for the poor at all, or the middle class. And the middle class got there through the Roosevelt administration's laws. And this group is out to dismantle those.
And here's the thing, that is an additional foulness to the greed and to the racism and to the classism of these folks. Newt Gingrich's mama didn't have a husband when he was born.
And he divorced his wife when she was dying of cancer.
On her deathbed.
I can't stand to look at that man. Mm-hmm. I have to shut it off when he comes
mm-hmm.
on.
So these are the last people to judge or to lecture me about morality.
And you say hypocrite?
I think we need a new word in the English dictionary to describe these people because they've gone beyond the word hypocrite.
And one more thing, Liz, I don't think that we've got it. We've only got a Democratic Party up there in name. I think the majority of them are of the same class as those people.
Patrick Leahy said, I am going to trust that Roberts is telling me the truth about what he's going to do. You know what? Shut up and sit down and get out the dang way.
One more quick thing. I think, you know, don't take to the streets and don't do anything because they'll put their thugs in there even if you're just out with picket signs and create a riot.
So you would have said to Martin Luther King, don't go to the streets?
On this gasoline thing I'm talking about. No, what Martin Luther King did was what he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
On this gasoline thing, we should pick out one day a month and change it every week. And just, everybody just stay home. Don't give them the satisfaction of being able to sig the dogs on you or chase you. Just do a home strike and take one day a week and do that. Just don't go to work. Have a national sick-in one day a week on this gasoline thing. And thank you very much for listening to me.
Thanks for your call. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Brown.
Good morning.
Mr. Brown, you know, when you was talking about the flood and they were moving those people out, it reminded me of a book when I was about 18 years old. I was in Memphis, Tennessee. And I remember working as a houseboy for these people. And they had a library out on the sun porch. And I would go in there and read those books all the time. And I picked up a book one day, and it had in them the exact, almost the exact thing that I saw going through this flood was how the Holocaust started. They first was moving the Jews out. You know, they was in the ghetto, what they called it then. It was in this place they called the ghetto. And what they were doing, they was the people that they could reject. Nobody wanted to be around them. They had such bad label on them. So they were moving them out and telling them that they were moving these people into better housing, better projects. They had some pictures in this book showing that there was some Jews standing in front of these big, beautiful duplex, you know, like projects. That's where they was moving them to. And that's what happened. Once they got started, well, that poor class, well, in the middle class, they already didn't want to be around them criminals, those rejects. Nobody want to be with that lower class, so they didn't pay it no mind. And when they knew anything, they come to find out they was taking them to the Holocaust. And that's when when this flood come along, I looked at them and I said, how are these people letting this go? I said, they are separating the parents. They done went through a flood. Now they're out on ground. Now they separated. One going one way and the people not telling them nothing.
It's awful.
And it brought it back. That's what brought it back. The book just come back to me. What's the name of the book? I don't know because I was not in no classroom trying to pass no exam. I would always try to find something that I could read to benefit me. So, you know, the title, really, I don't know the title of it, but I know it's out there. It's a book out there. And it tell you how these people first started taking the Jews from the ghettos and was moving them what they thought. But the Jews that they was moving, what they thought that they was moving into a better, you know, living quarters, living area.
Thanks for your call.
And thank you.
We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me. 454-0400 is the phone number.
So the Bible says, and it still is new. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. President Bush's head of Housing and Human Development says New Orleans will never be as full of black people as it used to be. Alfonso Jackson made that comment during a visit with evacuees in Houston. Members of the Congressional Black Caucus are taking issue with that comment, saying that such hyperbole could be interpreted as some type of preset goal from the Bush administration. Jackson said the population of New Orleans might reach about 375,000 late next year, but the black population will only make up less than half of that total, which is down from the previous 67%. The secretary also told New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin that it's a mistake to think about rebuilding the area of the Ninth Ward because it's the lowest part of the city and the most prone to flooding. And Dateline Washington, the stock dump by Tennessee Republican Senator Bill Frist is a long way from being over and done with. Now, the Securities and Exchange Commission has launched an investigation into the sale to determine if inside information was used to make that sale. Hospital Corporation of America was founded by the senator's family and is now the largest for-profit healthcare chain in the country. Economic forecasters painted a rosy picture of financial success for HCA. Then, in mid-June, the senator ordered all of his shares in the company be sold. A month after that happened, the stock fell by almost 10%, and the company announced it was not going to be able to live up to earnings expectations. Frist said he sold the stock to avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest if he had to act on legislation dealing with the healthcare industry, and it was just a coincidence. The stock value dropped before he sold out. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
Cut your gas cost in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride-sharing with RideFinders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. RideFinders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service that matches commuters throughout the region who share similar workday commutes so they can contact one another to share the ride in a carpool or vanpool. The ride matching service is provided by RideFinders free of charge and is available online at ridefinders.org or toll-free at 800-VIP-RIDE. The higher gas prices get, the more savings you'll see. Add more passengers to your carpool and save even more. Call RideFinders today at 800-VIP-RIDE and ease the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. That's 800-VIP-RIDE.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a new report is out called Beyond Delay, the 13 Most Corrupt Members of Congress. We'll look at the egregious, unethical, and probably illegal activities of this baker's dozen, one of which is Missouri's own Roy Blunt, the governor's dad. 2 years ago, he divorced his wife of 30 years to marry a lobbyist for Philip Morris and then tried to insert wording into Homeland Security legislation that would have been to Philip Morris' benefit. Blunt's other son, Andrew, also lobbies for Philip Morris, who just happens to be his biggest political campaign contributor. There's so much more to tell, and we will tell you all about it with Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Come on.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, 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 get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Liz.
Yes.
What's his name? Michael Moore. He confirmed your statement that you just said about William Bennett living with the mass murderers and criminals, because McLemore says in his book the people who he's mostly afraid of are the white men that he live among, that they are the mass murderers and killers, and that when it comes to killing and corruption, they are always behind it.
And here is my point with that. In terms of making a decision about where does crime come from, it is illogical and non-linear for a person in the position of a Bill Bennett to conclude that crime comes from black people when his own personal experiences is that every criminal that he knows well is white. So how can you it is illogical to do that. That's why it is racism. This isn't about truth. This isn't about statistics. This is about the all-powerful understanding and worldview of racism.
And at the same time, Michael Moore is also saying that they are destroying the planet, and unless they are gotten rid of, then we have a much more crime and threat against us than what he's talking about. Them using their mass media to try to portray that black people are the biggest criminals.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Kevin.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know what? Because I love your show, because I boycotted Fox Network, especially because I never did like Juan Williams.
Yeah, well, Juan is...
And I was so surprised when I heard him on your show, but I love your show so much. You know, sometimes... I can't boycott you, Liz.
I understand. But,
come on now. Juan,
but did you
I
hear
can't
what,
get specific.
Did you hear what he said?
I've been watching Juan for years.
Did you hear what he said, though, recently?
No, because every time I cut him off.
Let me tell you what he said yesterday.
Okay.
From my understanding of what he said that this stuff is racist. He challenged all of those.
Not Juan.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I guess they had to slap him in the face.
Well, you know, and I think, here's what I think this is not a defense of some awful water carrying that I believe that Juan Williams has done in the past, but I think that what he thought is what a lot of, I think, bougie people try to convince themselves that the
like
people. I'm not calling any names.
I'm calling one.
All right. what they try to convince themselves of is that you are just. Principally, you just disagree on some things. We just disagree on some worldviews, as opposed to seeing an individual as a racist. And I think that what Juan Williams has thought is that all this time I thought that we just had different understandings of how the political spectrum runs. We just have different worldviews on what it takes to fix this country. What Juan Williams is articulating now, and I think because of the way that he behaved on that show yesterday, is that, no, we don't have disagreements. You hate me because I'm black. And you hate everybody black.
How could he not know what you know? That they hated you because you were black, period. I don't.
Here's what I think happens sometimes. Sometimes I think that people believe that they become friends with people. Okay? I mean, you know, people act nice to you. You know, you walk down the hall and they say, hey, what's up? You know, how's your family? I heard your mother is sick. You know, my prayers go out to your mother. You get close to some people in terms of a professional and a non-professional way, and you think that you are friends with these people.
You know what, Liz? Can I say something?
I'm not saying
God blessed us with black women. Because you guys protect us to the end. And I am so glad God gave me black, made me black, so a black woman protect me, because you defended him to the end, and
I love my people. I'm trying to find understanding.
That's what I said.
Understand, please, that if Juan steps out, I'll be on him like, you know.
I know you are, but we still, that's we were blessed. That's all I have to say. Have a good day.
All right, now, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. These are amazing times. This is the 10th anniversary of the verdict of O.J. Simpson. The verdict of O.J. Simpson is one of those seminal moments where I think you can ask just about every American, because 150 million folks watched it on television when it came down. And folks can say, where were they when the verdict came down? I know where I was. I was in a bar in Clayton. And I went there intentionally because I knew that most of the people were going to be white folks. And I wanted to see what the response was going to be, because I knew it was going to be not guilty. You heard me on my show. I said it was going to be a not guilty verdict. Said it was going to be a not guilty verdict. So I went to Clayton. I went to a bar. And I assure you, only black person yelling, yes! Not guilty, that's what I'm talking about. Turned around and looked at all the folks in that bar, and I assure you, if there had been like a Simpson moment, I'm talking about the cartoon Simpsons, you know, where there's always one person that says, let's go get them, and then the riot starts. If there had been one person that had just pushed just a tiny, teeny, tiny bit, I assure you that something would have gone down that day. There was that kind of palpable fury in my direction after the verdict of O.J. Simpson. And nothing's changed 10 years later. Nothing's changed. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Mondays at 9 is following me. Stay with us.
The progress is healing the wound that's below that.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
I'm Clarissa Douglas. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts is about 30 minutes away from taking the bench and beginning arguments as the High Court convenes on the traditional first Monday in October. President Bush went to the Supreme Court earlier this morning to see Roberts formally installed. Before that, the President nominated White House counsel Harriet Myers to succeed retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor.
I've known Harriet for more than a decade. I know her heart. I know her character. I know that Harriet's mother's proud of her today. And I know her father would be proud of her, too.
Here's ABC News political director Mark Halperin.
Harriet Myers was overseeing the search for a Supreme Court justice nominee for the president, but she did not look into her own background. One of her deputies handled that as she was added into the process relatively late in the game. There are going to be questions about her ability to deal with the public spotlight. She's not someone who's been very front and center. She's been a behind-the-scenes operator.
Myers says if confirmed, she'll work to ensure that all courts strictly apply the law and the Constitution. Federal investigators say they've ruled nothing out in yesterday's tour boat tragedy on Lake George in upstate New York. The boat was taking almost 50 senior citizens on a fall foliage tour when it capsized and sank, killing 20 people. ABC's Lucy Yang says investigators are questioning the captain.
Investigators will obviously want to question him on what happened. Right now, authorities suspect a passing boat may have created such a monstrous wake it overturned the glass-enclosed sightseeing vessel with all the elderly on board.
Most of the passengers were tourists from Michigan. The Energy Department is launching a campaign today to encourage and help consumers and businesses cut back on energy use. This man in New Hampshire says you don't have to ask him twice.
We just paid $140 more than we paid last year for 200 gallons of home heating oil.
This is ABC News.
Are you one of the millions of seniors trying to decide which Medicare Part D prescription drug plan is right for you? Help is as close as your nearby Save-On or Osco pharmacy. We can set up an appointment with you to help answer your questions about this new plan. You'll find free brochures to better understand your options, plus bring in a list of the medications you're taking, and we'll provide you with a list of drug plan options that cover those medications. The help you need is as close as your Save-On and Osco pharmacies. Stop by today.
Unsure about Medicare prescription insurance? Your friendly and knowledgeable Walgreens pharmacy staff can answer your questions. Or ask for the Show Me Guide. It's full of great information and even has examples of how Medicare prescription insurance can help you save. These benefits will take effect in January of 2006, but you'll have to make some important decisions before then. So stop by Walgreens for information about Medicare prescription insurance. Many choices, one solution, Walgreens.
Some officials in New Orleans predict the Crescent City will recover from Hurricane Katrina and be ready for tourists a lot sooner than anyone expected. ABC's Pam Coulter is there.
Tourism is fuel in New Orleans' economic engine, and the city's tourism chief says it won't be long before they're back on their feet.
By this Christmas, we'll have 95% of the hotels not only completely open and operating, and the same with the restaurants, but many of them will be refurbished in a condition superior to what they were even before the storm.
There may be fewer floats and a smaller crowd, but Stephen Perry says there will be a Mardi Gras in February, and he believes it won't be long before everyone's saying,
Laissez les bons temps rouler, absolument.
Pam Coulter, ABC News, New Orleans.
The Major League regular season is over. Playoffs begin tomorrow. The Red Sox open in Chicago against the White Sox. St. Louis hosts San Diego, and the Los Angeles Angels will host the New York Yankees. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. A deadly fire in Jefferson County is being investigated. Authorities say the body of an 18-year-old man was found in a blaze, broke out in the Riverview Benz apartment complex around 4:30 this morning. Candles are suspected as the cause of the fire. The victim's name hasn't been released. A major announcement is expected for later this morning on the initiative to help the St. Louis area's underinsured and uninsured. The St. Louis Regional Commission will join local and state lawmakers during a press conference to release details on the collaborative effort. Over 300,000 St. Louis City and County residents rely on the safety net health services. A ceremony is planned tomorrow for Eureka Fire Protection personnel who responded to hurricane relief efforts. Last week, a team deployed to the Gulfport, Mississippi to replace firefighters who had been assisting with operations. The latest operation is expected to last 2 weeks. And finally this hour, anyone traveling through Clayton over the next month may notice something a little unique, a big pink shoe. Aaron Conroy, a spokesperson for Brown Shoe Company, says they've decided to wrap a large shoe outside their office in pink to commemorate Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
The Judy Ride Foundation approached us asking if they could wrap our shoe in front of our building in pink, and we were thrilled. Breast cancer awareness is such an important issue for women, and most women are extremely passionate about shoes, so it just made so much sense to work with them.
Additionally, you can use pink ribbons attached to the shoe to write the name of a loved one who died from breast cancer. The shoe will remain pink through the end of October. This hour's news has been sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Napa conventional motor oil for just $1.39 a quart. Napa, get the good stuff. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Fazoli's Restaurants. Westbound 370 at Elm, a reported vehicle fire. Eastbound 44 at between 141 and 270. Traffic is flowing freely. Northbound 55 between Rivas Barracks and 44. No problems to report. Northbound 270 at 44. Traffic is easing. Eastbound 70 at 79 and Blanchett Bridge, look for no problems to report there. Westbound 270 between Lilac and 170, everything's flowing freely. Westbound 255 from Coke to Lemay Ferry, expect normal traffic. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, look for traffic to be easing. Westbound 40 at Boone Bridge, you've got road construction, the right lane is closed. Eastbound 40 at Clayton Morrison and Hanley, look for that traffic to return back to normal. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street, look for that. Is starting to ease up this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, everything's on the move. Lindbergh Tunnel at Lambert Airport, the northbound lanes will be closed from 7 p.m. to about 5 a.m. for maintenance work. in both directions. Tesson Ferry at Lindbergh and Grabois. You've got paving operations in both directions, 255 at Camp Jackson. Over on the east side, you can expect road construction. And westbound 70 between Kings Highway and Union Boulevard, look for construction having one lane closed this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Fazoli's Restaurant. Stop by Fazoli's and try a baguette. New delicious oven-baked sandwiches served on ciabatta bread and served wrapped, perfect for on-the-go. Better get a baguette only at Fazoli's Restaurants. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy once again with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies, 50% chance of showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73, both under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. It's Mondays at 9. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, a new report is out called Beyond Delay, the 13 most corrupt members of Congress. We'll look at the egregious, unethical, and probably illegal activities of this baker's dozen, one of which is Missouri's own Roy Blunt, the governor's dad. 2 years ago, he divorced his wife of 30 years to marry a lobbyist for Philip Morris and then tried to insert wording into Homeland Security legislation that would have been to Philip Morris' benefit. Blunt's other son, Andrew, also lobbies for Philip Morris, who just happens to be his biggest political campaign contributor. There's so much more to tell, and we will tell you all about it with Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I listen?
So I believe this is the Motor Racing Sports Show for Sunday, October, for Monday, October 3rd, where 8 plus cut 1 this week in race 8.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. The struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
dignity. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. And because this is Mondays and because this is 9 o'clock, of course, this is the Mondays at 9 component of the Wake Up Call. And we have spent a good deal of time, how should we refer to this time as, P.I.? We spent a good deal of P.I. time talking about Tom DeLay. That's pre-indictment time. And I suspect that we will spend an additional P.I. time, post-indictment time, talking about Tom DeLay. Cronyism, crooks, and ethicklessness. There's a lot to be said about the crimes committed by Tom DeLay and the raw power involved in, or the raw power that almost is like the propellant, this lust for raw power. And I don't know, my mama always said, and my daddy always underscored it. He always said, your mama right. You sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. It's no surprise that fellow Republicans appear to be guilty of the same types of absence of ethics ailment that is afflicting Tom DeLay. We're going to talk about some of those Republican members this morning as we talk with Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW, C-R-E-W-C, period R, period E, period W, period, joining us from Washington, D.C. Melanie, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. I don't know. I was looking through these lists, and I kind of I don't know where to start, but I think I want to start with Representative Bob Ney. When we talk about the things that members have done and people that have ended up in your list have done, Representative Bob Ney kind of caught my attention.
Well, there's a good reason for that. I would say after Tom DeLay, Representative Bob Ney is probably the person with the most serious ethics problems in the House right now. Bob Ney is integrally tied to the whole Jack Abramoff scandal. And some of your listeners may remember, I think I've talked about it here before.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Abramoff is a former Republican lobbyist who was the top lobbyist, in fact, for many years. Very closely tied to the Republican leadership, and now it appears the White House as well. And he is now under criminal investigation by the Department of Justice and the Internal Revenue Service for both bilking Indian tribes out of millions of dollars, but also for possible illegal contacts with members of Congress, basically bribes. Bob Ney is the person who has the most to worry about from this Abramoff investigation. Last year, Senator John McCain began investigating the problems of Abramoff bilking Indian tribes out of a lot of money. Senator McCain clearly had no idea that this scandal was about to reach seriously into the House of Representatives and the Senate, because I don't think he would have done it if he had. But what came out was there is this one tribe called the Tigua tribe from El Paso, Texas. Now, Jack Abramoff was integrally involved in getting the Tigua tribe's casino shut down. And then he turned around and convinced the Tigua to hire him to get the casino reopened.
Mm.
And he said, and of course he never told them that he'd had a part in getting it closed down. And by the way, Christian activist Ralph Reed had helped in that task too.
He must have read a different Bible that said something differently about gambling, huh?
I guess he did.
Okay.
Because Ralph Reed has now received an awful lot of gambling money from
mm-hmm.
Jack Abramoff. But
hallelujah,
this is a separate story. But,
hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Yeah. So in the meantime, Abramoff then goes to his friend, Bob Ney, and says, can you get this legislation in for me to reopen the Tigua's casino? And Ney says, sure. And, you know, the reason we know all this is because Jack Abramoff was incredibly indiscreet, and he wrote everything down in email. So we have a very long email track record of everything that happened.
Indiscreet or arrogant?
Well, both.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination.
Yeah.
And anyway, he writes an email that says, Ney has now agreed to push the TIGWA's legislation, and he writes this to the TIGWA's political consultant and then says, you guys need to send about $32,000 worth of checks to Ney's political action committee.
He put that in writing?
He did. And he, in fact, told them to Federal Express the checks, which, in fact, is exactly what happened. The checks were Federal Express to Bob Ney.
Ooh, okay.
So, okay, that's just the first thing. And that, to me, you know, that's really serious. It is rare for the Department of Justice to go after members of Congress for having accepted campaign contributions. They will, in return for legislative assistance, if somebody actually pockets money personally, like a guy named Representative Duke Cunningham out in California, if they take money personally into their own pocket, the Justice Department is much more likely to go after you. However, here, it is so tied, the quid pro quo, because it's just, you know, Ney says, I'll do it, and he gets the checks within days. So that's the first part. The second part is, then he goes, he asks Abramoff to set him up on a golf trip to Scotland to play golf at the famed St. Andrews golf course. And he asks him to do it because Abramoff has done this for others in the past, including Tom DeLay. Now, just asking for the golf trip alone is a violation of the rules. You're not allowed to solicit travel. Anyway, but we know that he's
for...
in this all through, again, Abramoff's emails.
And it's, and it's not just for him. It's for some of his staff, too.
Oh, it's for him, his staff, and another guy who was the chief of staff at something called the General Services Administration, a guy named David Safavian. It is very painful for Bob Ney, by the way, that David Safavian was arrested about 2 weeks ago.
Problem.
On this golf trip for lying to the ethics office about the golf trip. So anyway, Ney says he goes on the golf trip and he writes on his travel disclosure forms that he's going on this golf trip. He doesn't claim he's not allowed to go on a recreational trip. So he says he's going to Scotland to speak to the Scottish Parliament. Well, as it turns out, the Scottish Parliament wasn't in session. And there's no record of him speaking to anyone at the Scottish Parliament. So, I don't know, maybe he talked to him on the golf course.
Maybe.
But he was asked if he could name the parliamentarians he met with, and he could not.
So he's a liar and not a very good one.
Liar and not a very good one, and it violates all sorts of ethics rules to go on a purely recreational trip, to go on a trip that was paid for by a lobbyist, Jack Abramoff, and to have lied on your form.
And to lie on your form.
Right.
So there's. I'm sure there's more.
You know, that is sort of the bulk of it, I would say, but there's also this whole sort of mysterious thing about Sun Cruise Casinos. Now, Sun Cruise Casinos was owned by a man named Gus Boulis down in Florida, and Boulis was a Greek immigrant who had risen up from nothing and created this Miami sub shop where he made a lot of money, and he bought this cruise line, these gambling ships that were right off the coast of Fort Lauderdale. Boulis is forced to eventually sell the cruise ships under something called the Shipping Act, which says that immigrants can't own ships. So he goes to his law firm, Preston Gates, to get them to help him find a buyer. And lo and behold, who do they find? Jack Abramoff, who works at Preston Gates.
Mm.
Abramoff decides to buy the cruise line with a man named Adam Kadan. And they buy it, and they are, by the way, both now indicted for bank fraud in relation with the sale of the cruise ship. And interestingly, the relationship between Abramoff, Kadan, and Boulis begins to sour quickly because they actually don't pay Boulis what he's supposed to be paid. And he is eventually murdered in a gangland-style hit. Just last week, several men were indicted on the murder charges of killing Gus Boulis, and they were all people that Adam Kadan had brought in to help work on Sun Cruise Casinos, although they were all associated with the New York mob tied to John Gotti.
Now,
anyway,
you
wonder what this has to do with Bob Ney. Well, you know, when the cruise ship sale was going through, Bob Ney put statements into the congressional record saying, Gus Boulis is a terrible man, you know, the cruise ship should be sold. And then he puts in another statement. statement in the record saying, and Adam Kadan is a wonderful man who I'm sure will improve the cruise ships, and he's a man of honesty and integrity. In fact, Adam Kadan had been disbarred by the New York Bar Association by this time. But Bob Ney gets checks shortly after putting all those statements in the congressional record.
And we know he got checks because...
Oh, you can find it on the Federal Election Commission's website. Those checks all have to be published. They're all checks to his campaign committee.
And how much money are we talking about?
Well, you know, we're not actually talking about that much money. For the two different statements, it seems like he got $3,000 for the first and $2,000 for the second. At the time, that was three people making $1,000 contributions. At the time, that was the limit you could make to somebody's campaign committee. It's now up to $2,000. At the time, it was $1,000.
And could you talk to us about the meeting with Ney with Christopher Dodd?
Sure. This is another part of the whole TIGWA mess. Bob Ney said that he went to Chris Dodd, the Senate. Chris Dodd is a senator, and at the time, the Senate was under Democratic control.
This is in July. This is after he had asked for the golf trip. After that, that Tigra was going to help pay for the golf trip. Then that was in June, and now in July of 2002, he went to meet with Christopher Dodd.
Right.
Okay.
And well, at least you know he said he went to meet with Christopher Dodd.
Okay.
And he later tells the Tigra that Dodd is going to go ahead and pass this legislation through a Senate bill. But in fact, Dodd said that he never agreed to do that. He never was going to go along with it. So basically, Bob Ney has a meeting with the Tigwa Tribal Council, tells them that Dodd is still going through with this, even though he knows that it isn't going to happen. And then when, in fact, the legislation goes through without the Tigwa's amendment and the Tigwa is so upset about it, Bob Ney says, well, basically, it's Chris Dodd who hurt you. He went back on his word. Which was, of course, a total lie because Dodd had never agreed to it in the first place.
Now, is that a crime? Is that a violation of the ethics rules for Congressman Ney, a Republican from Ohio, a six-term member of Congress? Was that a crime for him to go to the Indian tribe and say to them that Dodd was going to do something that Dodd never said he was going to do?
You know, it's probably not a crime, but it's certainly unethical conduct, and it's the kind of conduct the House is free to look at under the rule they have that if somebody engages in improper conduct that reflects badly on the House can investigate. And the fact of a congressman, you know, lying about a conversation with a senator and lying to somebody who was hoping to get a piece of legislation, that's certainly the kind of improper conduct that reflects badly on the House as a whole.
Now, in terms of where we are with federal criminal, there are federal crimes and there are state crimes that could be theoretically could be forthcoming, aren't there?
I think mostly federal crimes here. The federal crimes would be about taking the money from Jack Abramoff and illegally soliciting the golf trip to Scotland. Those would be what I see as the federal crimes. But then there are just loads and loads of House ethics rules that that conduct also violates.
What about the whole Tigwa conversation for him to articulate that he's going to be able to do this to the Tigwa tribe? Is that an ethical or a crime of some sort, an ethical violation or a crime of some sort?
You know, members of Congress all the time will say to people they'll try to push their legislation. But they are not supposed to do it in exchange for money. You're not supposed to tie money and legislation. So that in itself isn't a problem. The problem is that Ney seems to have tied the act of pushing the Tigwa's legislation with the $32,000 that he was getting from the Tigwa. And then he asked Abramoff to request that the Tigwa pay for his golf trip to Scotland. And, you know, there's an interesting email where Abramoff says this is before Ney is going to talk with the Tigwa, in fact, about his conversation with Dodd, but after he's gone on the golf trip. And in the email, Abramoff says, don't expect Ney to mention the golf trip to you. He's going to show his appreciation in other ways, which is what we want.
And he put that in writing.
Yes, he did.
So where are we in terms of any kind of ethical investigation and any type of criminal investigation into Representative Bob Ney?
Well, you know, here's where we can blame both the Republicans and the Democrats for this. There is no investigation into Bob Ney going on in the House Ethics Committee. Yes. The House Ethics Committee has been at an impasse for practically the entire last year. They're not investigating anybody. They're doing nothing. They were having lots of problems over the rules. I mean, and in large part, those were the Republicans' fault. They wanted to make the committee much more partisan than it had been, just because Tom DeLay, in fact, had been admonished by a unanimous committee last year. But so they were fighting about the rules, but now they finally got the rules issue down, but they can't seem to agree on who to hire for staff, because they also fired a bunch of the staff last year.
But didn't, and isn't that a bit, but on the part of the Democrats, that's a big issue, because if they don't have the staff, or if they can't, if it's not an even division of that, then they really can't investigate that they want the way that they want to.
No, but they have agreed on, in principle, those things are agreed upon now.
Okay.
The Democrats have won on the rules issue. And so now it's just a question, though, that the Democrats and the Republicans still haven't seemed to have been able to agree on exactly who to hire. But the other problem is no one will file an ethics complaint. In the House Ethics Committee for the past 8 years or so now, there's been an unofficial truce whereby no member of Congress will file a complaint against a member of the other party. The sole exception to that was last year when Chris Bell, former representative from Texas, Chris Bell, filed a complaint against Tom DeLay. Now, Bell did that when he knew he was leaving Congress, and he did it against the wishes of the Democratic leadership. CREW, my organization, has had an ethics complaint against Bob Ney in hand since about March of this year, and we have sought all to get any Democrat to file it, and everybody refuses. No one will file an ethics complaint.
Now, who are the people that are – does it take a member of Congress or a member of the committee to file?
It takes a member of Congress. Outsiders are not permitted to file ethics complaints, which is a terrible rule. And since members have a truce and agree not to file, and they don't let outsiders file – and by the way, that's a rule agreed upon by Democrats and Republicans, because the fact of the matter is nobody wants any ethics complaints filed, which is an abdication of – the House's constitutional obligation to police itself.
So what about the criminal component of this?
You know, I can only hope that the criminal component is going on. I know that the public integrity section of the Department of Justice is investigating Jack Abramoff, and it is inevitable that the Jack Abramoff investigation will reach Bob Ney. And so I'm hopeful that Bob Ney will find himself under federal indictment eventually. However, that does not let the House Ethics Committee off the hook. Ney has broken all sorts of House rules. His conduct reflects horribly on the House. If the House won't go after somebody like Ney for doing what he's done, you know, what ethics violation would ever be serious enough for the House to act on it? So I think it looks pretty bad for the House of Representatives that they have such an inactive Ethics Committee. It just shows the public they don't really care about ethics.
And we're going to take a break. This is Mondays at 9. We are talking to Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW. She is joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about not just Tom DeLay, that there are a whole lot of other folks we need to have a conversation about with regard to ethics. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920, WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Science or religion, Republican or Democrat, politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies. What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
Tell us why you listen to WGNU. Drop a postcard to Why Do You Listen? WGNU, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, 63108. Listen for the winner through October 28th during Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan.
Check out a fish feeding frenzy at the Powder Valley Conservation Nature Center, 11715 Craigwold Road in Kirkwood, on Friday, October 7th from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Discover why fish are extraordinary feeders and watch a live feeding at the aquarium. Sign up by calling 314-301-1500. Fishy news to you from WGNU. Educational Talent Search is a free educational information dissemination program for high school students in St. Louis City High Schools. Contact your guidance counselor for information about ETS. Educational Talent Search provides admission application and financial aid application completion assistance, program and school selection, and scholarship searches. Start planning a positive future today.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for Today's Solutions with David Linehan from 4 to 6.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll-free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Time has come today. Young hearts can go their way. Can't put it off another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Mondays at 9, and my guest this morning is Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW, joining us from Washington, D.C. And Melanie, what is CREW?
CREW is Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington.
And because we broadcast here out of St. Louis, I feel an obligation to, and because Tom DeLay has been indicted and is no longer head of the congressional leadership for the Republican majority, we need to talk about his the replacement for Tom DeLay, Roy Blunt, Republican right here from the 7th District in Missouri. Roy has his own problems, doesn't he?
Yes, Mr. Blunt does have some pretty serious ethics problems, and I have to say this just shows how deaf the Republicans are to the issue of ethics, that at the same time that Tom DeLay is under indictment and Bill Frist, the Senate Majority Leader, is under criminal investigation himself, making it a historic first for two majority leaders to be under criminal investigation at once. Even with all that going on, that the House could then pick Roy Blunt, who's known to have serious ethics problems. This is why people have so little respect for the House of Representatives these days. So let me tell you a little bit about some of Mr. Blunt's problems. I would say the most serious thing that Mr. Blunt has done is he passes an awful lot. He does an awful lot of things to help his family members. The best example of this is he was dating the top Philip Morris lobbyist in 2003.
So we're not. And I just want to slow down just a little bit here. When we talk about, there are some people that are lobbyists that aren't very effective lobbyists or just lobbyists in name only. We're talking about the top of the food chain for the lobbyists that he was dating, Abigail Perlman.
Right, the very top.
Okay.
And only hours before, shortly after he assumed his role as majority whip, he tried to secretly insert a provision into Homeland Security legislation that would have benefited Philip Morris at the expense of competitors. Basically, the provision would have made it harder to sell tobacco products over the Internet.
And how does that benefit Philip Morris?
It would have stopped competitors from making any money on the sale of cigarettes.
And did anybody know that Roy Blunt was dating Abigail Perlman?
It was not well known at the time, but it was. He did this at the very last minute, and in fact, it seems that the person who found out about it and was very angry about it turns out to have been Tom DeLay, at least so the story goes in Washington. And the provision was pulled by DeLay and Hastert, and then the fact that it was publicized that it had been put in there in the last minute seemed to be because DeLay was pretty annoyed with Blunt for putting that provision in without DeLay's permission.
And the other component to this, Melanie, is what did this have to do with Homeland Security?
Oh, it had absolutely nothing to do with Homeland Security. It had everything to do with helping Philip Morris. And I would also like to point out that Representative Blunt has another relationship who is a lobbyist for Philip Morris, his son, Andrew. Philip Morris is one of Andrew's major clients, and interestingly, he picked up Philip Morris only a mere 4 years out of law school. In fact, many of Andrew Blunt's clients turn out to be big contributors of his father's, Roy Blunt.
Now, I want to back up just a little bit, just to try to get a timeline here. Roy Blunt divorced his wife in 2003.
Right.
When was this legislation, when did he attempt to insert Philip Morris legislation into, pro-Philip Morris legislation into the Homeland Security bill? What year was
that? Oh, it was in 2003, in around June of 2003.
Huh.
So he divorced his wife of 31 years, by the way, and he was dating the lobbyist when he was then, and who he, by the way, later married. When he inserted this provision.
And that's not the thing about this is that's so breathtaking is the seemingly relentless efforts to keep doing stuff that they tell you no you can't do. There's also another bill that he another bill that he attempted to put into the energy appropriations for the war.
That's right. He attempted to put something in for on behalf of the United Parcel Service. And interestingly, his son, again, Andrew, his lobbyist son, was a lobbyist for UPS. And Blunt helped out Andrew, his son, by inserting a provision into the $79 billion emergency appropriation for the Iraq War to benefit U.S. shippers like UPS and Federal Express. The provision required military cargo be carried only by companies with no more than 25% foreign ownership. At the time, they were trying, UPS and FedEx were trying to block another company, DHL, from gaining any contracts.
Now, was Roy Blunt successful with this?
Oh, yes, that provision went in.
Did anybody outside of your organization, did anybody within the halls of Congress articulate any kind of concern about this piece of this emergency piece of legislation?
You know, I'm not sure how much people even knew about it. Again, you know, one of the things that is an advantage about being top leadership is you can start inserting provisions at the very last minute, right before they're enacted. So there are these, you know, midnight secret insertions that nobody even knows about.
So, this is just amazing to me. How has he violated any kind of crime with regard to this?
Well, I think he's violated some federal regulations, basically, mm-hmm. which are issued by the Office of Government Ethics for the executive branch, but which also apply to Congress. And one of those provisions says that an employee shall not use or permit the use of his government position or title or any authority associated with his public office in a manner intended to provide a benefit, financial or otherwise, to himself, friends, or relatives. So by basically pushing for legislation that would benefit Philip Morris and UPS, and then as a consequence, his then-girlfriend and son, he was, in fact, violating this federal regulation,
and
which
now
I believe warrants an investigation into his conduct.
And now wife. Then-girlfriend, now wife.
Right.
Is she still a lobbyist for Philip Morris?
She is. She's still a lobbyist for Philip Morris.
A top lobbyist for Philip Morris.
Right. Well, now Altria, really.
Which
is sort of the new name.
Now,
this is, by the way, also not all that he has done. You know, the Blunt family is very politically connected. Now his son, Matt Blunt, is, in fact, your governor.
I'm well aware of that.
And Matt's major contributors to her to his political career have all been contributors of his father's. And in 2000, year 2000, Representative Blunt was involved in a scheme to funnel money through a local party committee into Matt Blunt's campaign committee when he was running for his previous job as Secretary of State. Mr. Blunt, Representative Blunt's campaign committee gave $90,000 to something called the 7th District Congressional Republican Committee, which in turn then contributed $76,000 to Matt Blunt's campaign committee, which was Missourians for Matt Blunt. It looked on the surface like these two committees, the 7th District Committee and Matt Blunt's committee, were not in fact related, but of course they were completely related, and so it was just a way for Representative Blunt to be able to give more money to Matt Blunt than he would have legally been able to do.
And there's more. There's also Altria that gave money to Blunt, to the child of Blunt as well.
That's right. Altria made a $100,000 contribution to the 7th District Congressional Republican Committee, went to support Matt Blunt.
How can Altria give that much money?
Well, the fact of the matter is they can't. It was an illegal campaign contribution.
And what is being done about this illegal campaign contribution?
Not very much seems to have happened as a result of it. Which is unfortunately often typical of campaign finance violations. It is very rare that people are really taken to task for their serious violations of campaign finance law. I mean, you're finally seeing it happening to Tom DeLay in Texas, but look how much he's gotten away with before anybody's done anything.
And whenever we're talking about these Republicans, it appears that all roads seem to lead back to Jack Abramoff. There's a connection with Blunt and Abramoff as well.
That's right. Representative Blunt co-signed a letter with all the top Republican aides. So when he was the whip, Majority Leader Tom DeLay signed the letter, Speaker Dennis Hastert signed it, and Deputy Whip Eric Cantor all signed a letter that endorsed a view of gambling law that helped one of Mr. Abramoff's clients, Louisiana Cushada, by blocking gambling competition by another tribe. Now, there was according to the Center for Responsive Politics, Mr. Abramoff gave $8,500 to Representative Blunt's Political Action Committee, rely on your beliefs at the time. It looks like Representative Blunt was accepting this campaign contribution in exchange for signing on to this letter, which, by the way, he had no interest in. I mean, a view of gambling that helped the Louisiana Cushada. Louisiana Cushada is in the state of Louisiana, not Missouri. Missouri was really not affected in any way by this legislation, but Mr. Abramoff, it just shows the extent of Mr. Abramoff's power that he was able to get all of the top Republican leadership to sign a letter that he wanted to go to the Department of Interior.
And we're going to take another break. I'm talking to Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW. We're talking about congressional ethics. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. We're not done here.
Church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Houston. An oil industry analyst group says a recent survey it conducted shows that 100% of all the oil production in the Gulf of Mexico has stopped because of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. Minerals Management Service says the storms have damaged just about all of the offshore oil drilling rigs in the Gulf, which account for almost a third of the nation's oil and one-fifth of natural gas production. But there are some other reasons besides the damage that the oil production has stopped. First of all, the FAA has slapped a ban on flying over the Gulf oil rigs. This means companies can't even take a look at how bad or how good a shape the rigs are in visually from the air. And then, with the Onshoil refineries suffering damage, the rigs have no place to send the oil, even if they're still up and running. Several oil drilling rigs have sunk, a number of them got moved, and one was even found beached on the Louisiana coast. And Dateline Denver. Scientists say global warming is a fact, and it's taking place at a pace faster than previously believed. The National Snow and Data Center in Colorado says satellite images make that satellite images of Arctic sea ice are currently at the lowest concentration ever recorded. They've dropped to just over 2 million square miles, which is a decline of about 20%. Huge melting has taken place north of Siberia and Alaska, and the trend is apparently spreading to all areas of the Arctic. Warmer air is causing more of that ice to thaw, and if the current rate of decline continues, the summertime Arctic Ocean will not have any ice left in it before the end of this century. The Bush administration has refused to be a part of the Kyoto Protocols, which address the issue of reducing carbon dioxide emissions to help put a stop to global warming. And the reason they have not been a part of the Kyoto Protocols is because the Bush administration doesn't think that global warming is a problem. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
This is Jim Curran, Current Events. We're on every Monday night now from 8 to 10 p.m. On Current Events, we let both sides of an issue be heard. That way we can learn from each other. That's Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., Jim Curran, Current Events, right here on WGNU.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Great group discounts and hospitality packages available. Call 314-622-BLUE to book your reservation now.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361. 9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This morning I'm talking to Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CRU. We're talking about it's not just Tom DeLay in the United States Congress. It is not just Tom DeLay. Melanie, we were talking about Roy Blunt, and I don't want to end without or move on to our next subject without talking about a trip that Blunt took.
That's right. Representative Blunt attended a luncheon in Seoul, Korea in January of 2002, and this trip was paid for by the Korea U.S. Exchange Council, which is a registered foreign agent. It is prohibited for members of Congress to travel on the dime of registered foreign agents. And I have to say, Representative Blunt is not the only person who has traveled on the dime of CORUSAC, the Korean-U.S. Exchange Council, but it is completely forbidden. And it's something that I expect the Ethics Committee should be taking up, because the issue of travel for members of Congress has become a big one in the past few months. And if they're going to look at anybody, and they've said they're looking at delay for travel, such travel, then they certainly should be looking at Roy Blunt, too.
And let's move to Bill Frist.
Okay. Senator Frist, who is the Senate Majority Leader, has recently come under some pretty serious scrutiny over potential insider trading.
Martha Stewart has nothing over him.
That's right. And in fact, you know, Bill Frist seems to have learned nothing about from Martha Stewart about lying to cover up the problem. But in any event, what happened is Bill Frist's family started the Hospital Corporation of America, which is a for-profit hospital chain, and it makes a lot of money. That's how the Frists built their fortune. Mr. Frist put his, when he became a senator, he put his Hospital Corporation of America stock, or HCA stock, in something called a qualified blind trust. Now, most people think of blind trust as really blind, where you don't know where the person who puts the money in then has no control over the sales or the purchases of the stock. But in fact, in this qualified blind trust, Dr. Frist could order things to be sold. Now, from the time he came into the Senate on, people were very concerned about the conflict of interest that the ownership of this stock raised, because Senator Frist worked on so many issues that would affect the bottom line of HCA and therefore his own finances. For example, he works on the Medicare bill, and he's worked on tort reform and class action suits. It's just endless. But from the beginning, from 1994 on, Senator Frist has insisted that the ownership of that stock did not constitute a conflict of interest. And even the Senate Ethics Committee cleared him. Now, I will say that first, I strongly believe that the ownership of such stock is a conflict of interest when you think about it rationally. But the Senate Ethics Committee doesn't think so. And basically, it is impossible under current Senate rules to ever have a conflict of interest. They will never find someone's personal financial interests are a conflict with what they're doing in the Senate. Anyway, so Mr. Frist has always claimed no conflict, no conflict. But then suddenly, this past April through June, he suddenly finds, oh, well, maybe there is a conflict, and he sells the stock, or at least that's what he says later. But it's interesting that he sells the stock just 2 weeks before the value of it precipitously declines by 9%. So that seems like an insider. He's based on insider information. Dr. Frist's brother is, in fact, on the board of directors of HCA, and HCA was issuing a report that was indicating that they had had less customers of the hospital with insurance than they had previously thought they would have, and it was that report that caused the stock to go down. And it seems like Dr. Frist may well have had the information that some of the board had, because some of the board also started selling around the same time, interestingly.
Would he have been precluded from having that information with a qualified blind trust?
You know, that's called insider information.
I would think so. I would think so.
And anybody, you know, that's the kind of thing that's just completely forbidden, you know, whether or not it's your family who owns the corporation. You're not allowed to make trades with stock based on your having information that is not available to the public at large.
And we're not talking about 30 shares of stock.
No, we're talking millions of dollars worth of stock. And he sold the stock not only of himself, but of his wife and his children. And he sells it right before the stock declines. And then when he's asked about it, he says, oh, I sold because it was a conflict of interest, a conflict that he has denied for 12 years. And then he also says, well, he was getting, at the time he sold the stock, there were a lot of groups, public interest groups, criticizing him over the conflict. Well, it's true that groups had criticized him, but they'd criticized him. The last time there was real pressure on him was in 2004 sometime. So at the time that he sold, there was actually no public criticism going on. So again, the story seems to have changed. He's also changed his explanations for how much contact he had with people at HCA. When the issue first came up, he said he had not talked to anybody at HCA at all. And then the next day, he changed his story to say he hadn't talked to anybody at HCA about the value of the stock. though it seems like Dr. Frist is involved in a cover-up, and you know, people don't have to believe me, it seems like it's enough that the Securities and Exchange Commission and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York are also very concerned about this.
Because this is outside of the realm of congressional investigation.
That's right. Although I will say, you know, the Senate Ethics Committee could do an investigation, and because I think the conduct so reflects poorly on the Senate, Crewe did file an ethics complaint with the Senate Ethics Committee. Unlike the House Ethics Committee, where outsiders are not permitted to file, you can file with the Senate Ethics Committee. But the day, we haven't heard officially back from the Senate Ethics Committee, but the day after we submitted our complaint, the chairman of the Ethics Committee, who's George Voinovich from Ohio, issued a very partisan statement saying, you know, without even any kind of investigation, he is completely behind Dr. Frist, supports Bill Frist, and doesn't believe that this would be a proper area for the Senate Ethics Committee to investigate. So basically, just like the House Ethics Committee, the Senate Ethics Committee doesn't do anything either.
So, and we have 2 minutes here. Break down the loan issue real quickly.
The loan issue was something that Bill Frist had two campaign committees, his 94 committee and his 2000 committee. He had lent himself, he'd lent his campaign over $1 million in 94 when he first was running for Senate. He wanted that, then he lost a lot of money in the stock market, a lot of his campaign money in the stock market, and so his campaign committees didn't have enough money to pay him back his loan. So he took out a loan on behalf of both campaign committees, and in fact, Mr. Frist himself signed the loan documents for both committees. And yet he only, you were then required to report any loans to the FEC. But Dr. Frist only reported the loan as on behalf of the 94 committee and not on behalf of the 2000 committee. The reason for that would be people would only have been looking at his 2000 committee reports to see what kind of financial status the campaign had, if it was solvent or not. And that's the kind of thing that will convince potential competitors not to run. So basically, he was hiding the fact that his committees were in such financially bad shape. And he lied on the forms, which is actually just a clear violation of federal law.
Where can people find out more information about ethics violations with Crewe?
We have our website, which is www.citizensforethics.org, and our list of 13 most corrupt members beyond Mr. DeLay is on a website, www.beyonddelay.org.
Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of Crewe, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, my pleasure.
Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.